I'd like to call to order the City Council meeting. It is December 16th, 2013, and it's 6:30 p.m. We're going to start with a moment of silence, and then after that, we'll rise for the flag salute. Okay, could everyone stand? And Jamison Steele's going to come up and do the salute for us. And I'm going to tell you a little about her while she gets oriented. Jamison is 8 years old. She's a third grade student at Fairgrove Elementary School. She likes learning math as well as other subjects that are new to her. Well, that's very brave. Jamison likes living on the Central Coast because of the weather and because she enjoys going to the beach. Her interests are dancing, campfire, and art class, and papier-mâché is her favorite. Do you make piñatas? No. Oh, my goodness. Not yet. Good. When you do, I want to come to your party. Jamison would like to pursue being a hairstylist or a teacher when she grows up, and she's accompanied this evening by her principal, Laura Storm. Where are you, Laura? I don't see you out there. Back in the back of the crowd, perhaps. And also her teacher, Ms. Ellison, and her father. And I want you parents and teachers to know that you can actually come up here and take photos, so don't be shy. Just get up here. So would you like to lead us now?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. And then come on up here. We have some things for you.
Oh, that's it. We move over here.
Oh, yeah, we're all going to put together. So you turn around. We've got great red light and blue colors on. And turn that around.
There you go.
Okay. Big smile.
Good job.
We have a couple of more this for you, too. That's to help you with your homework and making your art. And then we want you to come down and check everybody.
Thank you so much for coming. Appreciate it.
Hi, honey. Thank you. You did a great job.
Appreciate it. Delightful young lady.
That was a good choice. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Great job. Thank you very much.
Can we have roll call, please?
Here. Here. Here.
Here. Here. So I wanted to do a couple of housekeeping things first. Well, not really housekeeping, but introductions. We have three folks here tonight, and if there are more of you that I'm not seeing, speak up for me, please. Adam Hill, Supervisor Adam Hill is here. Give us a wave. And also Steve Lieberman, former mayor and council member. And Dee Santos, and I see Heidi Boatman back in the back, too, from the Parks and Rec Commission. And Dee is a former mayor also and a member of our school board. Oh, and John LeFerrier, I don't see you. Where is he? There he is. You're hiding. Okay. John is the chair of our planning commission. So, first of all, I'd like to have us do our closed session announcements from our last meeting.
Thank you, Honorable Mayor, Council members. On Monday, December 2nd, the Council met on three items in closed session. One was negotiation regarding real property, another one for anticipating litigation, and the last one for existing litigation. After convening into open session, there were no reportable actions taken in closed session.
Thank you very much. And also for those parents and teachers who are watching, you can see Jamison do the flag salute a couple of times a week in the last 2 weeks of from now, but this week you can see it several times, and that's listed on the agendas. And if anybody needs an agenda, they're over there on the table, so feel free to go get one. And it's also listed at grover.org, which is our website. So if you want to see that again, you can see it again and again and again. So we're going now to an agenda review, and this is the time where we can review the order of business to be conducted and receive requests for or make announcements regarding any changes in the order of the day. Are there any changes?
No. I'll move that we accept the agenda as published.
Second.
Moved by Councilmember Nichols, seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Bright. And it's a voice vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
None opposed. That was unanimous. So we'll continue as planned. Ceremonial calendar, and we're going to do a commendation, a mayor's commendation to Ray W. Lloyd. Yes, sorry.
This isn't a roll call vote.
No.
The second reading.
We haven't done that.
Oh, what am I doing?
Yeah.
Never mind.
Sorry. Excuse me. I'm ahead of myself.
Right. So we're going to have a mayor's commendation presented to Ray W. Lloyd, and I believe that our city manager was. Were you going to do that?
Okay. Yes, I'll provide you with a background report for this honor. Just by way of background for the folks at home as well as the audience here, the mayor's commendation was initiated to recognize members of our community were either individuals of distinction and or have contributed significantly to the community or the country. We're very fortunate to have with us tonight Mr. Ray Lloyd, who I think, as indicated in the staff report, has contributed significantly both to the country through his World War II service, as well as he and his wife have continued to do in the community since locating here 28 years ago. By background, Mr. Lloyd was born on September 8, 1923, and he graduated from Bakersfield High School at the age of 17. Now, after graduating from the high school, he began work with the railroad. And as noted in the staff report, it were long days and little pay. I think it were 12-hour days, and he worked for 47 cents an hour. That was quite an undertaking. Well, it came to pass that July 4th came up, and given the fact that he was working those long hours and that little pay, and given the fact that it was World War II, and President Roosevelt had indicated that he thought that everyone should take a day off so that that had been working so hard for the war effort. So what did Mr. Lloyd do? Mr. Lloyd decided to take the opportunity to go down to the Naval Recruiting Office and sign up, and that's exactly what he did. Shortly thereafter, he went through basic training in Camp Pendleton, in down in San Diego, Camp Pendleton. You caught that mistake, Mr. Colonel. Sorry about that. But after he completed his basic training in San Diego, within seven very short weeks, he found himself bound for Hawaii, and shortly after that, he was placed on his first combat ship, which was the USS Portland, and he saw action several times with the USS Portland. And then he was, from there, he was transferred to a escort carrier, and that probably was one of the most significant things. He was on that escort carrier, I believe, to the end of the war, and he was involved in what turned out to be the most decisive battle of naval battle of World War II, and in fact was the final major naval engagement between the Imperial Japanese Navy and the United States Navy. And I've got to tell you, if you happen to have an opportunity to look up the Battle of Leyte Gulf on the internet, I would certainly encourage you to do it, because it's one of the most inspiring stories coming out of World War II. And Mr. Lloyd was a gunner. I should tell you why he became a gunner. He became a gunner because of his height and because he had excellent depth perception. So it was kind of a quick decision that they made and assigned him to the duties as a gunner. But going back to that particular battle, the location that he was in was in the San Bernardino Strait area. And if you look at the battle, he was assigned to a very small battle group that consisted of 18 escort carriers and the associated destroyers, etc. And one morning they woke up to find the entire naval fleet on the horizon. And I've got to tell you, this battle group did the unthinkable without, they did not hesitate, did not back off. Instead, they sent everything that they possibly could into the confrontation. The destroyers went in and began shelling the Japanese naval fleet. The escort carriers did their part. They put approximately 450 planes in the air and began creating havoc and damaging the fleet. And all that time, our Mr. Lloyd was the gunner on his particular carrier, saw a lot of action. It confused the Japanese so much that they actually retreated. They thought they had run into Admiral Halsey's entire fleet, when in fact they had only ended this small battle group. So essentially, there were other engagements, but that was the very, very decisive battle. And as a result, the Japanese Imperial Navy never did mount another offensive for the remainder of the war. And I should tell you that was October of 1944. As noted, Mr. Lloyd continued to serve for the remainder of the war and then came home. Once he was home, he met and eventually married his sweetheart, Alma. Alma was only 17 at the time, and Mr. Lloyd had to promise that she would, in fact, finish high school, which they did. They worked for a while over in the Bakersfield area before coming out here, and eventually they purchased a home in Napomo. Initially, and worked, and Mr. Lloyd worked at Vandenberg Air Force Base as a civilian. During that, he always had his love of the sea. So consequently, he built a 45-foot sailboat that he actually launched out of Avila and sailed down to Santa Barbara. Well, lo and behold, eventually he was transferred to Port Hueneme. So he and Alma actually lived on the sailboat in Santa Barbara, and he commuted to Port Hueneme until he retired. Since retiring, they relocated to Grover Beach, again because they loved the Central Coast and liked being so close to the ocean. But that didn't stop them in terms of their interest in contributing to the community. Both of them were very active with the senior nutrition program out of Oceano. I believe Mr. Lloyd was actually a driver, and Mrs. Lloyd worked in the kitchen itself. Beyond that, they've continued to serve as a part of the People's Kitchen serving team. And in addition to that, Mrs. Lloyd has continued to knit caps and blankets, etc., for distribution to those that need it most. They've continued to be very active in their church commitment and in their church community. I've got to say that it was wonderful getting to know them. I could have spent a lot more time, Kathy and I could have, than what we did. But based on a pretty inspiring life, I think that's why the mayor chose to recognize Mr. Lloyd. So that essentially is my staff report, and I'll return it to you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. Well, and I have to give credit. It was actually the community members who came to me and said, you've got to give Mr. Lloyd a commendation, and I agreed. So here we are. So if other folks have people who should be commended, I'm always happy to hear that. So Mr. Lloyd, did you want to say anything? And in recognition and appreciation for your exemplary service in the United States Navy during World War II, as well as your volunteer contributions as a resident of Grover Beach, we'll come have a photograph in just a minute. But we want to hear from you, too.
Well, I would want to thank you, Mayor Peterson, and City Council members, and Mr. Perrault, City Manager, and Kathy Perker, the Recreation and Park deal. And also Dee Santos, I believe she was the one that started all this.
I'm not sure if it was or not. I remember someone else talking to me, but maybe.
I'd like to introduce my wife, Elma. She and I have been married, the New Year's Eve, we've been married 67 years. My daughter, Lori, my son-in-law, Bill, daughter-in-law, Karen, grandson, Harry, my granddaughter, Agnes, and her boyfriend, Roger. I think that's about all the damage I can do.
Thank you. So we'd like you to come up here. And would the family like to come up for the photograph, too?
Yeah.
Why don't you all come up, and we'll all get together here.
This is great. They're all tall.
Exactly. Perfect. There you go. Very good. Perfect.
Yeah, we're all kind of there.
Want to do a silly one?
Yeah, definitely.
Thanks for coming.
Stay here with us.
You still fine. I just want everybody to know that behind every man is a good woman. So, with that, and because of my kind of work, I get to hear all kinds of stories, and I can tell you a lot of history, but this couple is just outstanding in my book.
Thank you. Is there anybody else who'd like to come forward and say anything about this particular proclamation? Nope? Okay. Yes. Oh, please come forward then. Tell us who you are and your city of residence, too, so we can...
I live in Goleta.
Oh, and, that's a long trip.
I'm their daughter, Lori. But they also have a son who's in Hawaii, and he sent this, so I'm reading this on his behalf. I thank my dad for all the good things he's done in my life, but especially for the patience and kindness he shows toward people. He has become a role model for me, and I love him very much. I am glad that he is being recognized, not only for his service to this country, but also for how he has served friends and family. Love, Aaron.
Thank you so much.
He's here in spirit.
Is there anyone else who wanted to come forward? All right. Well, thank you all for coming tonight and for all that you do for our community. Next on the agenda is we have no public hearing, so we're going to move straight. Oh, excuse me. Yes, we have no public hearing, so we're going to move straight to public communications. Yeah. Thanks for the help. So this is the point at which anybody can speak on any item that is not on the agenda. So if anyone would like to come forward and do that, I'm going to try to follow the slips in the order that they came in. You don't have to have a slip to speak. You're welcome to come up. We'd ask you to limit it to 3 minutes. If you don't need 3 minutes, that's fine. You can keep it shorter. And if you can give us your name and the city that you reside in, we would appreciate it so we get the minutes right. So I'm going to open to public comment. Anybody want to come forward for public comment? I've got Adam Hill. You're first. You've got these slips down.
Good evening, Madam Mayor, Honorable Council. Adam Hill from the Board of Supervisors, and glad to be with you. Just wanted to give you a quick update before the end of the year.
Okay.
You may have read that we just hired a new planning director.
Mm-hmm.
Who's known to quite a few people in South County. We've hired Jim Bergman, who is currently planning director at the city of Windsor in Sonoma County. But before that, Jim had worked in the city of Arroyo Grande next door and was, I think it's safe to say, beloved there, because we heard so much outpouring when it was known from folks in AG that he was a finalist for our position. We just kept getting calls. I got a long email from the city attorney, and it was and we felt very comfortable, all of us, all five of us on the board, to make the decision. So we're hoping to see Jim in place sometime next year once he wraps things up in Windsor. You know, he's a terrific person, just a great personality, loves this community deeply. To submit special legislation that would be carried by Assemblyman Asajian no later than the end of January, if possible, and that would be to form a special water district according to how they've come to some agreement. We've got our friends from LAFCO and everybody working on this. So there, you know, our understanding of looking at it and talking to other people involved in adjudication in other basins, including ones in our community, is that as much progress as can be made is valuable for that process, no matter what. And so that's one of the things we hope to do. Budget continues to be very good. I'll be entering next year the first budget year of the entire time I've been on the board where we're officially in the black, and all of our indicators show that everything is up. Property tax revenues are up, TOT is up. All of our sources of revenue are quite good, and so we're seeing that in a variety of ways in the economy. Much more permits for commercial and residential. So things are getting a little bit busier, and that's good. And finally, if any of you have needs or things, you know, feel free. Community funds. I know Kathy just got one in sort of late because we were bothering her about trying to help with the Christmas parade, and we're always happy to. My office is always happy to provide community funds for the city, or for any nonprofits that the city or you're involved with. Councilmember Lee has done so, so I encourage you to do that. And I see the red light, so I'll just say Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and thank you for the work that you do on behalf of the community. It's particularly on councils. I always have great regard because it's a lot of work, a lot of time, a lot of demands, and not always thanked, so I thank you myself.
Thank you very much, and thanks for taking the time to come out tonight.
My pleasure.
Thanks, Adam.
And next we have Daryl Schick, is that right? You can tell us how to say it properly. Thank you.
Mayor Peterson and council members, my name's Daryl Schick. I'm a field representative for SEIU Local 620. I actually live in Solvang but work out of Santa Maria.
Now, are you here to talk about something not on the agenda?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Our union represents many of your staff here at the City of Grover Beach. And this fall 2013, our bargaining team exercised the right to reopen the medical benefit portion of the contract. There was an increase to the health care plan that most of our members were on at the time. And our proposal of October the 8th to cover the cost of increased medical insurance to our members would have cost the city around $4,400 for the fiscal year. And since the changes were going to happen mid-year, those costs would actually be about half, or around $2,200. At that point in time, the city said it did not have the money to take on this additional burden and could not provide the additional money for our 11 or so member employees that we requested the change for. While this was regrettable, our membership understood the reasoning at the time due to the challenging financial climate the city faced. Imagine the surprise of our membership when less than 2 weeks later, on October 21st, the city had available an additional $13,230 in base salary and about $16,000 to $18,000 inclusive of salary and benefits available to set up a new classification for police chief / assistant city manager. Let me be clear. Our union is not saying the police chief was not deserving of an increased salary due to additional responsibilities. What we are saying is that it would have been nice if there could have been some equity with regards to this plan. For less than 30% of the annual cost of the raise for the police chief, our members could have retained their current medical plans without increased costs or having to shift plans or doctors. This simple mathematical relationship did not go unnoticed by our membership. We only asked for fairness. In this case, I think the needs of the many employees should have been at least equal to the needs of one employee, and I'm hoping in the future the needs of the many will get more consideration. We represent some of your lowest paid employees here at the city, and I'm trusting that in next year's negotiations for a successor agreement, you'll bear this in mind. Our members have sacrificed much over the years, with furloughs continuing at least until the end of this fiscal year. Almost all jurisdictions we represent have ceased furloughs and are restoring some type of cost of living increase to salary. Our members here continue to suffer concessions after others have recouped losses. Thank you for your consideration, and we look forward to working with the city in the future to help stop the bleeding and get our members back on the road to recovery, and I wish all of you a happy holiday season. Thank you.
Thanks for taking the time to come up. I'm going to ask that we hold the applause for speakers because we'll be here all night if we do that. So is there anybody else who wants to come forward and speak during public comment?
I was kind of hoping for applause, Mayor. But
well, I'll applaud you later.
My name is Brad Snook. I'm the chair of our county's chapter of the Surfrider Foundation. And I think only gardens and we can get some good signage and we can draw more attention to the kinds of things that it takes to carry through with some of the stormwater quality issues that you're going to be dealing with later tonight. We have our Blue Water Task Force is doing testing in Avila Beach and also in San Luis Creek. And we worked with Stephanie Wald from Salmon Enhancement, and she's going to start having a volunteer do testing in Pismo Creek and also out front of the creek. And so we'll have four test sites for Blue Water Task Force, and we're testing for Enterococcus, one of the parameters that the county tests for during their regular weekly sampling. Been doing a lot of work up in Morro Bay, the water recycling facility. They have water supply problems. They're using their desalination plant right now to recover nitrate-polluted groundwater. So they're running that through the desal and then using that water because they've run out of state water allocations. So they're putting their citizens under a lot of tension to reduce use, and then they're using a highly costly method for getting their water supply. Mm-hmm. So the water recycling facility, when it does get built, will help to recharge their groundwater in the area, and with Cayucas on board, they'll get about a million gallons a day back. We discharge about 2.5 million gallons a day through the pipe in Oceano from AG Grover and Oceano, and we hope that we can get that back and build our supply eventually. So something that the city can look at long range, and hopefully we can get the citizens on board with a transitioning towards water reuse and a water reclamation facility. Thank you.
We hope to hear more from you on all of that.
Merry
Thanks.
Christmas, too.
Merry Christmas. Anybody else want to come forward from the public? One more.
I'm Johnny Weiss. I must go back to December when our first meeting when I came, and right after Labor Day, I decided to take off and go to the Midwest. I've only gone across 23 times since 1960 in a car or pickup, so I know what the United States looks like from here to Cincinnati, Ohio. I started out here, and as I went across 166, I remember back when Reagan was governor. He gave Alex Madonna the work order to widen 166 and 46. And I thought to myself, how much money would a state of California save if they'd done it then instead of now? But that's California. That's the government, and that's politics. As I got out there and I crossed the Colorado River, it looks like a small stream. I don't know how these people south of Needles is going to have water because it's very narrow. As I got to the Rockies, I went in an old store that was like Safeway over here, 1970, where I work. I asked the lady for directions to Wichita, Kansas, and there's no signs in town anymore. They take them down. But I was traveling with AAA, so I knew where the roads were. But she told me to go north 5 miles. I went north 20 miles. A Frito-Lay guy told me, oh, it's back 25 miles. What I'm trying to tell you is it's dysfunctional out there. And as I went to 1,000 towns in the last 3 years, there is a Walmart, there is no grocery stores, there is no small business, and where the courthouse sits, the square, they got curtains or they're boarded up. As I talked to truck drivers 3 times a day, I said, what's going to happen? And they said, this country is in bad shape and it's going downhill. See, you people don't know because you've never been back there. You've never left east of Bakersfield, so you wouldn't know. But as I looked around, there's no dealerships for cars, new cars. And one area, Ford, Chevy, factories, gone. And other places, there's a big motel in outside of St. Louis. 4 stories. Parking lot growing up weeds. There's Sears, Penny's, Kmart, small malls, boarded up, going up in weeds. You got it made here, and if you can't make it here, no, I don't know how. But back there, they make it, and the average salary is $7, well, minimum wage. The average house is $50,000 to $60,000. There's 5 to 10 sales on homes in a street. So I said to these truck drivers one day when I was in, I said, if they got this $1 trillion deficit in Washington.
So we have a motion from Councilmember Lee and second from Mayor Pro Tem Bright. And this one is a roll call vote.
Yes.
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 Yes. So that was unanimous. And we're moving now to regular business. And this is the report and recommendations from the Citizens Charter Committee. City Manager Perrott will be giving this one, and the City Council will consider a report from a Citizens Committee regarding a proposed city charter measure.
Yes, Madam Mayor, members of the Council. I'll actually introduce the item, and then Mr. Lieberman, who's the chair of the Citizens Committee, will actually give the report itself. But by way of introduction, in November of 2012, as you're well aware, Measure I-12 that would have converted the city's form of government from a general law city to a charter city narrowly was defeated by 4 votes. Based on that fact, the council took up a discussion on whether to consider moving again with another measure to the ballot, a similar measure that would consider a charter form of government. The council indicated a strong interest in doing that, and subsequent to demonstrating that interest, Mr. Lieberman and Councilmember Nichols essentially came forward and volunteered to organize a citizens committee that would independently review the discussion of the charter and then report back to you. In May, they gave an oral report before the council and indicated that they had essentially formed the committee and would begin meetings. As I mentioned, this was an independent citizens committee separate from anything that the council was doing relative to this matter. The committee met for an extended period of time over the summer months and early fall several times, and as a result of that, developed the attached report. As you'll note from Mr. Lieberman's comments in the report, this was a very broad-based committee, and they came up with a series of recommendations. The number one recommendation that the council should consider is actually a recommendation to move forward again with the charter measure. Obviously, there are a number of recommendations also contained in the report. Essentially, perhaps the main threshold issue is whether the council will direct that the city move forward again with another measure. Tonight, you'll certainly have the opportunity to review the report with Mr. Lieberman and members of the committee, and I'm sure you're going to hear from members of the public as well. You can go as far as you wish in terms of reviewing these individual recommendations. You may want to bring those back at a later date. Certainly, it's how you would like to deal with this. I certainly, the only other item I was going to reference is just should the council initiate the direction to move forward with this, the draft of the measure needs, in fact, to be completed, and that would then initiate an extended public hearing process. As you'll recall from the last time we did that, the public hearing process in itself would involve several public hearings as well as extended noticing periods. So that's essentially my report at this point. I'll introduce Mr. Lieberman and, with your permission, ask him to deliver the report.
That would be great. Thank you.
Good evening. I'm Steve Lieberman, Grover Beach. Two things. Don't say Mr. Lieberman. That's my father. And secondly, Bob's offer for you to analyze this in great detail tonight is off the table. I told my wife I was taking her on a date, and I brought her here.
Well, you're lucky.
Okay. So thank you for the opportunity. And I do want to reaffirm something Bob said was, I volunteered to do this. And sometimes in retrospect you say, why did I volunteer to do this? But I raised my hand gladly to be of service to the community. And I think I thank you for that opportunity. We did have a very diverse group, and I was kind of eyeballing the room to see who's here. And I just want to read into the record the folks that really gave a lot of time, free thinking, honest energy. I mean, we got contentious sometimes, but never disrespectful. Certainly do that.
Steve, could I ask you, could you just read through that list of the things you considered? Because I think
sure.
It was extremely exhaustive.
Sure. The topics discussed were the advantages and disadvantages of moving forward again with a charter measure, a review of the recent charter measure placed on the ballot by the council and the subsequent campaign, the form of the existing charter, and a review of charters adopted by other communities, construction bids, bidding, purchasing procedures, and prevailing wage issues, the benefits of the home rule concept or local control and relationship to the state, council member term limits, council member compensation, status of state law, recent changes, and possible impact on the development of a charter for consideration by the voters, consideration of adding a code of ethics for elected public officials in the charter, think first or local preference provisions, the current status and implementation of unfunded mandates by the state, and then obviously we all want to focus on promotion of economic development. Those were the broad talking points that we covered in four meetings. We could have probably met a lot longer, and based on those issues, we couldn't reach consensus on every point, as you would imagine, in a broad group of people with perspective. The consensus was the council should move forward with a future ballot measure. The ballot measure should be placed before the voters during a general election. The governor signed SB 311 into law in August of this year, and it requires that future charter city initiatives be placed on the November general election ballot. The charter language should be kept simple and easy for people to understand. The 2012 proposed charter should be used as a base for the development of a new proposed charter. A more comprehensive public awareness and education component must be included as a part of the process to place the measure on the ballot. The separation and independence of the city and the state as it relates to home rule and the ability to have full authority over municipal affairs should be clearly stated. The ability to refuse to implement unfunded state mandates should be included. Related to purchasing, public works contracts, and bidding, And I know you'll hear from some of my committee members. Actually, I'll insist that Miriam Shaw come forward and talk to you about this because she gave this a lot of insight and thought. But the charter should include language that allows the city to exempt itself from the state contract law and shall have the ability to control the cost through the regulation of purchasing public works contracts and bidding as long as the adopted regulations are in keeping with current state law for charter cities. Goes into much more detail, but again, I will drag Miriam up here kicking and screaming if need be to talk to you in more detail about that. Prevailing wage. As you can imagine, we spent a lot of time talking about prevailing wage. When this charter was before the voters last time, there was not Senate Bill 7, which was signed into law by the governor, which mandates that any state or federal pass-through funded projects must be paid at existing state prevailing wage rates. So we spent a lot of time talking about this. And I just want to make it really clear, I even put it in bold font in the report that you have before you. But we got to a point, and I wish Rob was here this evening to share his perspective, but we got to a point in the evening where I heard something and I asked for clarification, and I got clear clarification from Rob. So there was a couple of ways to word prevailing wage in a city charter. Number one, the city of Grover Beach supports the use of prevailing wage to compensate all contractor employees working on public works projects and requires all contractors to compensate employees using current prevailing wage rates. That's number one. Number two, as an alternative, was the city will require all contractors completing public works projects that are locally funded to compensate project employees using compensation rates in accordance with state and federal law. So number one defines and calls out prevailing wage. Number two says we shall comply with state and federal law. The bolded item that I have here was the clarification I received within our group. Members of the building trades would support and endorse the charter with option number one, where prevailing wage is included in the verbiage. Members of the building trades will oppose future charter language should we use an item such as number two that does not clearly explicitly state prevailing wage. So sorry to spend so much time on this, but I want you to be very clear with what the findings of our group were. Obviously, we didn't find consensus on this item, but there's options for your consideration. Think Local First needs to be incorporated into the charter. The section should require the council to establish by ordinance incentives for local businesses and encourage the hiring of local employees with specific language and or percentages. In drafting said language and percentages in the charter, care should be taken to avoid language and percentages that are too specific or and or cumbersome. That may be something that may come back and the council may want.
We're not doing public comment yet. I'm just wondering if anybody else from the committee. Sorry. I'm sorry, Lewis. Please come forward then. My apologies on that.
I just wanted to come up and just have the opportunity to say to Madam Mayor, Honorable Council, and distinguished staff, I really do appreciate the opportunity to have been asked to be a part of this committee, to work with Steve and Miriam and John and everybody. It was a pleasure. I considered it, and Bill as well. I considered it an honor and a privilege. Yes, I did sort of battle and think. I think everybody in the room kind of knows where I stand upon as far as the issues, so I don't want to really become long-winded. I just wanted to come up and say thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to serve this community, to talk and speak and just get these things out on the table. Mm-hmm. And so with that was basically all I wanted to say. And I appreciate this. Love this town, love this city, appreciate these people, and thank you for considering me. All right.
Thank you. Thanks. Was there anybody else from the committee who wanted to come up and say anything?
Good evening, John LaFerrier, and thank you for Steve for including me in the committee. We had a lot of philosophical discussions about it. I'm not sure we were probably as divided on some things at the beginning as at the end as we were at the beginning. But to me, the charter, what voters are faced with is: do we want to empower the Grover Beach City Council with more options to solve Grover Beach's problems, or with a handout that was provided in the hallway, do we need the state of California to protect us, the citizenry, from nefarious actions on behalf of the city council? I'm in the former camp, that I would prefer you had tools to solve the problems you have, and I don't know if other people are worried about the powers you currently have and want them limited. I want them expanded. So that's a philosophical difference, I think, that some people may we can't get together on some of those things. And we were just here about a week ago, much smaller turnout, by the way, a week ago, and one of the issues we were divided about was labor laws, prevailing wage issues, and right now that's 10% of our capital cost. But last week we were talking about the $40-something million street issue, and so I want to support a charter, and I want to be able to support a local funding measure for streets, and I hope I can support both of those. And so I'm looking downrange that an importance of the charter is directly linked to the potential street rehabilitation funding. And so I just want to make sure that, even though it's been a week, we make that link and that these two things are really intertwined. Say it even more clearly. Many of us would like to support the street bond, whatever revenue thing, and having a certain kind of charter makes us want to support it more, and having another one makes it make us want to support it a little bit less. So please consider those two things linked together in your decisions. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi. I was on the committee as, you know, a mom and citizen of Grover Beach, but in my past life I was a lawyer, and you really can't get that thinking out of your head once you're thinking that way. So I was kind of the one in the group saying, but the words say this, you know, and kept going back to the words in the charter regardless of everybody's feelings on issues. So my one perspective, we talked a lot about the prevailing wage issue. In my lawyerly mind, that's been decided by the state, and mm-hmm. I'm not really sure where else we'd go from there. Luckily, the rest is up to you. But on the bidding issue, I want to just to keep in mind, and for us to be sure, that when the charter is finalized, that it says what we mean it to say. Because the way it's written now, in the draft, it's and I don't have it in front of me because I didn't know I was going to be speaking, but but the way it's written now, the first few lines, in a way, throw out the state bidding process mm-hmm. and allow us to substitute our process, thereby leaving us with no process until we come in and redraft something. And I want to be sure that we don't reinvent the wheel. We need to have loopholes in areas where we do what's right for Grover.
The SB 7 was state legislation that was approved by the legislature this year and signed by the governor. And we will, in accordance with that provision, every city operates the same way, we will continue always to pay prevailing wage for state and federal projects. However, should the city become a charter and exempt local projects, locally funded projects, from paying prevailing wage, then the city would lose state and federal funding. And I just wanted to make that clarification.
The option of not having prevailing wage is not removed by SB 7. There's a consequence of that choice. That's what the law is.
Thank you for that clarification. So I think Council Member Bright asked first.
Let them start.
Okay,
all righty. And actually, I apologize. I was going to kind of piggyback on what our city manager mm-hmm. and city attorney said. So now, tell us, if you would, the breadth of that penalty, shall we say. When you say we lose state and federal funding, is that all state and federal funding, or is that only projects, or where's the hierarchy?
All state and federal funding.
Okay, so it is all state. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
Mayor Pro Tem Bright.
Oh, okay.
I'll make this really quick, because I know you want to get to your date. So then, when you say that charter language should be kept simple and easy to understand, is that what you're meaning, that there's these ambiguities? Thank you very much. Is that what you mean?
I think Miriam said it in a very eloquent manner, is when you read the charter language, our intent is that we should all know at a layman's level, mm-hmm. we should know what it is and what it is not.
So
I think that was the message.
Because I know a lot of that charter was, it would be determined, to be determined kind of thing.
And Mayor Pro Tem Bright, again, a lot of discussion surrounded the question as to whether it should be tightened up later or if the charter should be on the ballot as it will lie as a final product, just from transparency concerns that were voiced.
Right, and I think that makes a lot of sense. Okay, I think that was really my only question. I have comments, but that was my only question at this time. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Did you have questions, Councilmember Nichols? I had a few. Go ahead. I'll go last.
I have a couple more. Apologize.
Yeah, please do. Yeah.
As part of your discussions, was there any clarification or volunteerism? Focused discussion.
That was my question.
Oh, see, I appreciate that. Thanks. I know one of the items later in our agenda is about Parks and Rec mm-hmm. and the opportunity for volunteerism through some of the projects there. Can you enlighten us on if that was undertaken?
We certainly discussed it, and I think the fact that we were all community volunteers sitting around tables in here supports the notion that volunteerism has its place in the community. As far as legal implications with existing law, that's something that we didn't delve into. But we definitely support it. Okay. Did that answer your question, Councilmember Lee? Yeah.
And I had a question on transparency provisions. And I'm wondering if you, I know you talked about ethics, which I think are really important, and I think it's something that we can and should address, and a lot of that would be transparency. I'm wondering if you thought about putting in any things like provisions to post public contracts for bids online, to post salaries online. We may do some of this already. To fund the Brown Act if the state defunds it. Were any of those kinds of provisions that would really support and mandate transparency?
You know, we didn't get down in the weeds mm-hmm. on a lot of issues. One thing I didn't really mention when I introduced the report to you was we had a lot of folks traveling from the Sacramento area to attend our meetings, mm-hmm. folks that we hadn't really met before. I've come to know Steve Weiner very well from Santa Barbara, and I like Steve Weiner, but we had a lot of folks that were traveling in from Roseville and other places. We always gave those folks a voice as well to share perspective. Mm-hmm. Transparency was a general item that we talked about quite a bit, because unfortunately it seems as though bad news makes the wire far more often than good news, and we wanted to ensure that when we obsessed on the charter language being very tight and clear and explicit, it was for those issues, Mayor. Transparency and the associated trust that
clarity.
Comes with that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thank you. And following on from that, you mentioned that you had a lot of people traveling to the meetings, and you had three trade representatives. Were any of the trade representatives non-union shops?
Overlook anybody, didn't cut anybody short, and I commend him for that. I thought he did a very good job in that. So yes, they were open, yes, there were people there, and each and every one of them was heard from.
Well, I think this was a fabulous report, and I really appreciate all the thought and the work that went into it and the talking, the democracy. And I did have one final question, and that was whether any of you have considered how we could or should move forward in terms of drafting it. Any thoughts on that?
That's why you're there.
Well, let me ask it another way. Would any of you be willing to participate in a citizens' committee to draft?
I will leave that to the committee members, Madam Mayor.
You're difficult.
Hey, my wife's right there.
Yeah. Oh, I have to ask Nancy.
She knows. I think there was a lot of energy and enthusiasm around issues, and I would think if you were to poll the folks that joined me on this committee, you'd be really impressed with the level of engagement. Mm-hmm. So,
thank you. I saw Miriam, you raised your hand there. Does that mean you'd help?
Sure.
Okay, thank you. Just wanted to see how what kind of an experience it was for everybody.
Exactly. And unless there's any other questions, what I would like to do is if you're going to open this to the public, go ahead and do that, and I'll share my personal perspective for that time. I just want to keep the report separate.
Great, of course.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you all. So I'm going to open for public comment now, and we'd like to ask you if you could give us your name, city of residence, and if you can keep it to 3 minutes. Thanks very much. Oh, you know what? We have blue slips. And again, I'll say you do not have to have blue slips to speak. They help us, though, to keep track of who's speaking. I'm trying to do them in order. I can't remember if Mr. Weiner was first or Mr. Lopez was first. I'll let you two duke it out. sometimes these get shuffled one behind the other. So, Mr. Weiner.
Good evening, City Council, staff, and members of the audience. My name is Steve Weiner, and I'm the Executive Secretary Treasurer of the Tri-Counties Building Construction Trades Council, representing craft unions in the three counties. First, I want to just say that I represent labor unions, but I also represent all construction workers that work in the county on prevailing wage. I would like to say first that I appreciate the work the committee did, especially Steve Lieberman, who I actually quite fond of. We may disagree on the views on prevailing wage, and he may disagree with my views on it. And we did have some lively debates. But I think Steve did a great job, and I'm really happy to call him a friend now. I believe Steve will... at the committee meetings, you mentioned that they were open. They were open, but they were not noticed to the public. The only reason we found out about it was because we've had a couple of members, union members, on the committee that let us know about the meetings. At the meetings, we provided a number of speakers to the committee and submitted a number of reports regarding the benefits of prevailing wage. To my memory, there was only one speaker that spoke against keeping prevailing wage in the charter. You know, we'd rather work with the city to pass a fair charter that does not single out building trades workers and puts a burden on them to work for less. Prevailing wage has helped to create the middle class and provide the means for workers in the community to become homeowners and support the city they live in. The charter should benefit everyone and not put a burden on a few. I'm here tonight asking the City Council to adopt Alternative 1 in regarding prevailing wage. Do the right thing by adopting Alternative Number 1, and we, the building trades, will work with you to pass a fair charter. I thank you for the time, and I wish you all a happy holidays.
Thank you, and thanks for your hard work on that, too, traveling. Did anyone else want to come forward? Oh, wait, excuse me, I'm going through my list, aren't I? Michael Lopez.
Good evening, Madam Mayor, council members, staff. Appreciate the opportunity to speak to you. I'm with Local 114 Plumbers and Pipe Fitters. Out of Santa Barbara. I'm an organizer and labor compliance officer. I'm the guy that goes out and actually monitors all the lying and cheating that goes on prevailing wage jobs throughout our county, and it's rampant. You made a statement earlier, Madam Mayor, distinguishing between whether other trades are represented aside from the union. First of all, I think it's interesting how we label people. We're union, and usually what goes along with that label is big union. I'd like to be real clear to you folks that we do probably less than 9% of the work in the state, if not the country. So I think the real concern is who's driving this, because you've got 89% of the other guy, who I don't think I've ever heard a name of who they are, pushing this. I would be very reticent to look at who those people are. We have a vested interest in this community. Really stands for what it was really set up to do. And understand that it's about growing a community and developing a strong methodology of training the kids that come through these school systems and give them an alternative to having a career in this community in a viable types of work that we have here. We have electricians. We have I can't remember how many different building trades we have here. Remember, if you are not union or organized through organized labor, the training that goes into the people that come do the projects that you are responsible to deliver to the general public, the training of those people coming into these projects is a big fat zero. So not only are they coming from outside of their community, they basically have almost no training. So we hope that you recognize the qualities that exist in organized labor and how it serves the community at large. And thank you so much for this opportunity. Have a happy holiday, folks.
Thanks for your work. Next we have Dave Baldwin.
Good evening. Thank you, Madam Mayor, members of the council. I'm David Baldwin. I'm the business rep for the Plasters and Cement Masons Union here in San Luis Obispo, and I also cover half of Santa Barbara County. I cover from Vandenberg, Lompoc on up. And, you know, I have to echo much of what the previous speaker said about the prevailing wage conditions and the monitoring of those projects to see that the employers are actually adhering to the prevailing wage conditions, especially around, you know, the payment of prevailing wages when it comes to how they classify the workers and apprenticeship training in particular. It's, you know, the unions are basically the only group that really puts out an effort with our own funds to be sure that everything is on a level playing field. You know, it's why that they say that we represent all workers, because when we go out and monitor these projects, we're not just looking at union workers or anything like that. It's the job in particular, and particularly on the monitoring, it may come down to just a completely non-union job, or it could be partly union. It goes the full spectrum there. You know, I've been here a lot of times, and I've talked about, you know, how we feel about prevailing wage, why we think it's so important. And I can go down the list of reasons, you know, that exempting prevailing wages is bad, that there's an increase in shoddy workmanship, and, you know, an increase in on-the-job injuries, and go down the list. And I know you guys have received that information. I'm sure you've had time to look at it. But I think the main thing that I want to press again, and I know I've said it before, but it's so vitally important that I feel like, you know, every time I come here, I need to make this point, and that is exempting prevailing wages also gets rid of the apprenticeship training. And as I've said before, I can't think of a single good reason to hurt apprentices. These are generally people that are trying to learn a skill in one of these skilled trades. They start, as a cement mason, they start at less than $13 an hour with a very small benefit package, and many of them are head of household. And they work on many of your projects here. They worked on your Grand Avenue enhancement. Even though it was a non-union project, we had our apprentices out there. I really feel strongly about that. You know, the apprentices, you know, in our particular trade for cement masonry, they go through a four-year apprenticeship program with graduated wage scales based on their on-the-job hours and their supplemental classroom training that's mandated by the state that they attend. After the end of 4 years, you know, they can expect to earn a certificate as a journeyman in the trade. But at best, they're looking at a long, hard career in a really demanding trade where they're at the mercy of the weather and the economy that often is not nice to construction workers. Our jobs are made to be finished, and oftentimes they're out of work. You know, if there's ever a question about the amount on the wages, these guys aren't rich, I can tell you. I spent a lot of time with them, and I hear their stories, and it's a tough trade.
Thank you, Mr. Baldwin. Next, we have Luis Robles. You get to double dip tonight.
Yeah, just to go what everyone else is saying, and again, thank you for this opportunity. I am in support of prevailing wage, and it's not. I'm not a paid union official. I don't work for any unions. I'm a man who puts his boots on every morning, goes to work, comes home. The thing that's important to me about this is the fact that, you know what, I even asked during the committee meetings, is how is it that you could convince me that hurting this person's wage is going to save this community? Is where is all this money going to come from by hurting the head of household? No answer was really given on that.
philosophical discussion, I guess it was called. But it's systems to build your freeway systems, your infrastructures. I built all of those things, and I chose to do that. And just as I said, yeah, there are times that brain won't permit me to do so. All of these other things won't permit me to do so, permits and so on and so forth. But I enjoy building for you. I enjoy going out there and looking and coming back and seeing this is something that we've done. This is something we've done together. All those that are on the crew, all those that are together, we enjoy building your communities. We enjoy building your future. Ask for a little investment in that as well. You build our future. Help us help you. It's something that I am, as Steve says. I'm at times I just can't be quiet about it because it's like, hey, come on. And again, there it is. Hey, come on. But thank you so very much for the opportunity again, Steve and everybody and Bob. And have a happy holidays and Merry Christmas.
Thank you, and you too. So next we have Mark Simonin.
Good evening, Mayor Peterson, City Council members. My name is Mark Simonin, Tascadero. I'm the business representative for San Luis Obispo County Electrical Workers. These guys have used all my prepared statements, so I don't have a lot. I do represent a number of electrical workers right here in Grover Beach. I'm awful proud of the way you guys had Jameson, pronunciation of style, do the Pledge of Allegiance. I represent not only your father, her grandfather, and her great-grandfather, all who are surviving here with prevailing wage and getting paid the area standard. Standard wages is the key to us. The apprenticeship is a big deal, but I know for a fact a single father raising a child like Jameson could not afford to live in Grover Beach without being paid the area standard wages. So I think we really have to reflect on that for the next generation who has the courage to come up in front of this audience with the Pledge of Allegiance. We're just proud, and it was really nice to see that tonight. And that I didn't have anything to do with that, obviously. It's just fortuitous, and I'm just elated that she did that, and her family was here to support her, and we're here to support her as well as the Union Electrical Workers in San Luis Obispo County. Thank you.
Thank you. And Cesar Chavez. Really? Really?
good evening, Mayor, members of the City Council. My name is Cesar Chavez. I'm a union rep for UDW. We represent in-home support service workers in San Luis Obispo County. And we're here in solidarity with our union brothers and sisters to oppose this charter amendment. It's a no-brainer to know that city charters have, in cities throughout California, have had a negative impact. There was a LA County Civic Grand Jury study that found that only 5 out of 22 charter cities that they studied in the county had a balanced budget. Besides that, doing something like this will really hurt the workforce and the people that you sit here to represent, folks at work. There's nothing smart about cutting prevailing wages and bringing in poverty wages. There was a resident here that talked about Walmart, and that's all that you see is Walmart. In a lot of ways, the way that I see it, this is this amendment is kind of like the Walmartization of our country and the jobs that are here. And again, the in-home support service workers are not with us, and we hope that you do the right thing and that you support the residents and workers of Grover Beach. Thank you.
Thank you for coming forward. Is there anyone else who'd like to come forward? I have no more blue slips, but we certainly are happy to hear from anyone else who'd like to come up.
Honorable Mayor and members of the Council, I'm Judith Bean, and I'm here on behalf of the Chamber of Commerce for Grover Beach
And I just want to speak in support of Grover Beach becoming a charter city. We hear a lot about prevailing wage, but there's a whole heck of a lot more to a charter city than just the prevailing wage question. And with the passage of SB 7, who knows? You know, right now, it's kind of off the table. But really why I'm here is to pledge the chamber's support in getting the word out on exactly why creating our own constitution is a good idea and what it means to local businesses and local residents in Grover Beach. Becoming a charter city, as you know, means that cities don't have to accept the continued raiding of local funds to cover shortfalls on the state level. It all comes down to whether we think we can do a better job of running our city than the state can. I believe that Grover Beach...
In a little bit. Steve Weiner with the Building Trades has a job to do. I like Steve. Louis Robles, Rob Ellers, I still can't say his name right, and others in the trades want to best provide for their families. I like both those guys. You've heard enough about SB 7. I'm not going to talk about SB 7 and prevailing wage anymore. I want what's best for Grover Beach. I want Grover Beach to keep moving forward. I want Grover Beach to underground utilities, rehab the streets. I want the Grover Beach Lodge and Conference Center. I want us to leave a community legacy for those that follow us. I believe that to accomplish what's best for Grover Beach requires us, the residents, to have local control. I believe that we are best suited to plan for the future, to make capital improvements, and to wisely spend our revenues while managing our expenditures. When I was on the council, I worked really hard for Proposition 1A, which was a League of California Cities initiative to keep Sacramento from ripping us off. When Sacramento could not balance their budget, they would come and take our property tax revenue. Proposition 1A passed. It was a huge victory. We felt so great about local control. When I was knocking on people's doors, of course it was like during football season, so no one wanted to see me anyway, but they would say, well, I already pay my taxes. And then I would say to them, and I don't know what the number is now, city manager, at the time it was, well, 12 cents on the dollar stay in Grover Beach for us to provide basic city services. And that was a shock to people because we all pay a lot of taxes, especially in this state. Unfortunately, with relation to Proposition 1A, the governor found another way to steal our money from local government. So, well-intended, unintended consequence. I received this mailer. Steve Weiner, excellent job on it. I read the article from Alex with Smart Cities Prevail, complaining that my committee meetings were illegal. I allowed the nice folks from Sacramento and elsewhere who drove all the way down here to speak at our meetings. You know what? I actually find this mailer and the complaint great examples of what I'm about to share with you. Donna, it says yellow. I'm still talking. Let's deal with misrepresentation. These flyers will say, Bell could happen to you. Or council members will give themselves incredulous raises. Well, guess what? Within the parameters of state law, as you well know, you can give yourself raises right now. That's not new, and you're not a charter city. I fought against raises when I was a council member, and staff can direct you as to what you want to do. The complaint. I think we've become such a litigious society, it's ridiculous. I could send a letter to Bob tonight. I mean, look at these walls. I don't like the walls in this room. I think we need warmer colors, and I personally favor soft green. If Bob blew me off, I could start a petition, get citizens to sign it, and I could come before you, and guess what? Sooner or later, I would wear you down, and you would paint the walls green. It makes no sense whatsoever, nor does this complaint.
Steve, just a second. I want to just confirm, Nancy, you're giving your 3 minutes to Steve. You're not going to speak. Okay, want to be fair on that.
Thanks, Nan, for getting my back. The mailer tells the story. The mailer tells the story that there's a problem with government. But the problem's not here. The problem's in Sacramento with elected representatives, with the exception of one that I know well, who I believe have forgotten where they came from, the local community. The fact that we had all these nice folks driving down to 2.25 square mile Grover Beach to attend these meetings, that was a sign. It reflects, in my opinion, again, the dysfunction in Sacramento. They are so far removed from what goes on a local government basis that they don't know what the heck they're doing. And they certainly shouldn't be telling us how to manage our affairs. Here's the bottom line, I promise. please balance this with the other priorities you've established for the community. Good government is transparent government. It's representative government. Local communities are smart when they make smart local decisions. I support more, maybe more than anyone else, I support home rule and local control. I ask that you refuse state mandates without adequate funding to complete them. I ask that you do what is fair for all members of this community. Move forward with the charter. Move forward with an elected official's code of ethics. And should there be a campaign, please don't take any outside money for the campaign from either side. Let's partner with communities. Let's be grassroots. Grover Beach has been so successful in the past. Let's all move Grover Beach forward. Thank you.
Thank you very much. No clapping. Clap outside. Is there anyone else who'd like to come forward? Sharon, did you want to say something?
No.
Okay.
For now,
okay.
The next
hearing. All righty. Anybody else who wanted to comment?
Good evening. My name is Joe Gidman. The response was we fix things when they break because we're short on money. The union was able to get them to do standard maintenance. This was not just to protect our members, protect our employees, but to protect the citizens and the communities we serve. So I would like to remind the council that the word union is not a dirty word, and it goes far beyond prevailing wage. I'd also like to echo something that Caesar said. When you start writing your own charter, be very careful, because you're writing a charter that can be changed beyond your term, and really think about what you're doing. Certainly it can be a good thing. Not all charter cities fail, but really think about what you're doing. Thank you for your time. Happy holidays, and have a nice evening.
Thanks for coming out tonight. Is there anyone else who'd like to come forward?
Good evening, Madam Mayor, City Council, and staff. I wasn't going to speak originally. My name is Greg McClellan. I'm the Executive Director of the Western Steel Council. You've heard from mostly labor representatives tonight. My side is the management side. I represent the contractors and companies throughout the state of California. I'm one of those evil people from Sacramento, apparently, that came down to participate, and I appreciate the fact that it was an open process, and we did drive a long way. There was no easy way to get here. And I know that because I've got family all over this area. My son goes to Cal Poly. We've got folks that have had wineries and cattle ranches here since the turn of the century. So I'm not actually too far removed from the area and the concerns of small beach towns. But one thing to consider, the management representatives and the contractors that have to do business in California, you guys know, many of you are small business owners, as am I. It's one of the toughest states to do business in. It's one of the toughest places to do business in the world. Regulatory issues, tax implications. We have immigration issues. We've got so many things that we deal with. One of the problems that I think people forget to look at down the road is many of those folks support charter cities. We work hand in hand with over 100 charter cities very successfully. And I think all of our membership support cities' ability to govern themselves and to keep local issues in local determinations and decision-making process should be here, not somewhere else, whether it's Sacramento or Washington, D.C. But it's said here a few times tonight, the charter itself can be a can opener. And you just have to be careful about what you're opening up. Make sure that the language is vetted well through your competent city attorneys, that there's no unintended consequences. Because the bottom line is, the folks that live here, the folks that make sacrifices to live here, do so for a reason, and those charters should be considered of everyone that's here, just like was said previously. But again, I want to be clear that the management folks and the contractors that hire these primarily prevailing wage workers support Grover Beach's charter, as long as it's done carefully. Thank you.
Thanks. Anyone else? Okay, last call. Close to close public comment, bring it back to the council. And certainly if there's some more questions, that's fine. And if there's conversation, that's also what we need to be doing at this point, deliberating.
I have one question, perhaps, and perhaps just a question is if the committee wanted to respond to anything that had been brought up, so during the public comment. Okay. Then I did have one.
Can I piggyback on that? Because I did have one question of I have one question of the gentleman who just spoke. Can you tell me, do your members, do the employees also support the charters? Because you said you represent management. What about the employees? If you'd come back up and answer that, that would be great.
Yeah, I'm not authorized to answer on behalf of the employees. You've got several mm-hmm. of the representatives here to mm-hmm. ask them, but our contractors who hire these folks do so for the reasons that I said earlier, and the fact that they have the highest trained, best workforce money can buy. That's why they continue to do that. But whether I can speak for their support of the charter or not would be
this city becoming a charter city. I just let the language be friendly to the worker who works for a prevailing wage.
Thank you. All right.
Just one quick. Mm-hmm. This might be for Martin. I noticed one of the recommendations is the ability to refuse to implement unfunded state mandates. Is that even a possibility?
And you don't have to answer that. I don't yeah. think we've ever no, I, it's something there, we can
there, discuss. I think as we move forward, there will be some shaping of the drafting to some extent. I think that options to refuse state mandates always exist. It's just a matter of how you express that refusal. Charter strengthens the position that the city would be in if the council chose to oppose or refuse some unfunded mandate. It would give you one more piece of ammunition to work with. But I am not aware of a drafted charter that would simply state that, you know, categorically the state cannot tell us what to do. In any respect, but it's definitely another arrow in the quiver. It's another piece of ammunition that is available to charter cities, if and when the decision is made to deal with issues of unfunded mandates.
Thank you. That was the only question I had.
I had one more question too, and it's another one for Martin. One of the things that flyer that Mr. Lieberman, Steve, was waving around said was that council members with the charter, council members could put their pay up anyway, anytime, any. You know, basically, we were going to run rampant. So if I could ask, what is the situation as it now stands with wages? And as a general law city, can we put our wages up?
As a general law city, there are starting level, depending on the population of the city. For our city, it is $300 a month per council member. For any city with a population less than 35,000. As Steve identified correctly, the council has the option of providing themselves 5%, up to 5% a year in increases, and those increases have been fought and not. You have not done that. No council has in the history, because the amount is still $300. But you certainly
Since
have that option.
1986, anyway, I know. Yeah. Yeah.
Still have the option of doing that. Secondly, state law also provides that should you wish to do so, you could put a salary increase or a stipend increase on the ballot, and if the voters approve it, they can you can increase your compensation for serving.
So as it currently stands, if we do nothing, we can increase our salary 5% every year, and we can also add benefits, I believe, can't we?
There are certain benefits that you are entitled to. Others are not. I believe that the statute, give me 1 second, and I will... I think you're precluded from unemployment benefits and precluded from...
Was it pensions?
And from pension. Thank mm-hmm. you. That's correct. Health benefits, you can vote in.
Okay. Which is a form of pay, but it's not...
And it does not count towards the...
The $300.
The $300 amount.
So then if I could follow on from that and say, what was it that we were seeing in the charter then? What was the original charter that we had put on the ballot in 2012?
The language that pertained to that issue in the original charter stated, which, yeah, it was in the
it
streets.
Was set for
Section 202.
There it is, compensation. Thank you. Salary of the mayor and council members shall continue to be set pursuant to the law applicable to general law cities, provided, however, that neither the mayor nor any council member may receive pension or unemployment insurance, which is
the
again,
same.
In line with with state law.
So then, in what way could the charter, how could we possibly pay ourselves exorbitant amounts under the charter?
If the charter, mm-hmm. as adopted, as proposed, would pass, nothing would change. Basically, your still would be paid under the same rules and regulations that you are being paid under.
So the only way it could be amended would be by a vote.
The only way that you can amend any language in the charter mm-hmm. is by going back to an election and getting an approval of the majority of the voters.
Thank you.
So
sorry,
but
as it's stated
okay.
in the initial charter document.
Please thank you.
Don't change it.
I just want to make sure everybody's protected. Okay. All righty.
Okay. Actually, that was one of my questions, so we've done that back and forth tonight. Just one more question. There was a reference, and I think it was Mr. Baldwin, and if I get the gentleman incorrect, I apologize, but it made a reference to work on Grand Avenue, assuming he was referring to Phase 2, being non-union. So...
I'm not aware of whether the contractor was union or non-union. I can tell you, though, because it was a state-funded project, it was a required prevailing wage.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Thank you for clarifying that.
Thanks. Any other questions? Any discussion?
Sure.
Well, yeah.
Lots of discussion.
Okay. Let's get to it. Yeah,
let me make one comment. I would like to remind all of us on the council that what we're talking about here is Grover Beach becoming a charter city. And this is not just about prevailing wage. With the passing of Senate Bill 7, we will be paying prevailing wages regardless. And we're certainly not going to jump out there and try and become a charter city and say we're not going to pay prevailing wages and cut our nose off our own.
Didn't somebody say we're doing it with 90% of our jobs right now anyway?
Yeah.
Right now? Okay.
But we want the charter to be written so that we can represent the residents of Grover Beach to the best of our ability and do what is best for the residents of Grover Beach. Mm-hmm. I think that's what we need to keep in mind. There's an awful lot to this charter besides prevailing wage. Mm-hmm. Senate Bill 7 has pretty much ruled out any debate on that. So what I think the big argument has been and why we have so much discussion tonight about prevailing wage is the union representatives would prefer that we put something in the charter that says we'll pay prevailing wage, even though we're going to do it. You got to put it in there and say it. Some people are of the opinion that you don't have to say that. If we put in there that we're going to pay according to state law, that's it. No problem. If the state law changes, I think we would be remiss in not doing what's best for the residents of Grover Beach, which may very well be to continue paying prevailing wage. So there's not, it just, we've gotten carried away with prevailing wage, and I think we need to get back to discussing the rest of the charter city and the charter and whether we want a committee to be formed to move forward with this and take to the voters.
Thank you. Pro Tem Bright?
Thank you. Well, I agree that there is just so much more to this than prevailing wage. And unfortunately, that has overshadowed this whole issue, I think. Most important, I think, is that we have public input. I think that we really need the folks that are going to be affected by the charter to be involved in crafting the charter. So I really want that to be a great part of this, that we have the public involved and we educate them. I think that was so important as one of the committee's recommendations, that we do public awareness and an education component, because that is so important. I think that if the residents understand what it's all about, I just can't see how they couldn't support it. And then again, that we have very concise language so that everybody knows what it's going to be, and if there's going to be any change, it's going to have to go back to the people, and they're going to have to approve it. They're going to have to vote on it, and that's how it's going to be. So there's none of this business that people that they can be swayed or misled by words that aren't really real. So I do believe that we should have a committee. I think so. That can put this together and help with the public, so we can craft this. So it's something that's going to be best for the entire city.
Thank you. Yes, go.
I'll go ahead and weigh in and say thank you to all the committee members, all the hard work that they did, and I'm also in support of moving forward with some level of charter committee to figure out how to craft language to bring forward. There were a couple comments that came up, and I don't know which gentleman said it, but California is a tough state to work in. Mm-hmm. And I think predominantly, in my opinion, that's driven by Sacramento. So one of the reasons that I would be in support of a charter is because it removes us insulates us in some fashion from Sacramento and allows us to do the home rule and to think local first, which is, I think, is what a lot of people have been saying here tonight, is to not oversomely burdensome. And let's leave that language out right now and just make it as simple as possible, and make it about Grover Beach.
I want to raise a question on that comment, because my understanding of what was being said was that it needs to be very clear in the wording, not that it needs to be specific necessarily, but it needs to be clear, not necessarily terribly detailed, just that the words mean what we want the words to say and that they're interpreted the way we want them to be interpreted. Right. So. Okay.
Sometimes I crawl up inside my head and get too much of the details, and so I just want to make sure that yes, our intent is there, but we don't start to structure and fashion things to a point to where we can't, and the city beyond us can't use this as a functioning document.
It should be more policy than procedure.
Correct. There you go. Thank you.
Is that what you meant? Are we on the right track there?
Yeah.
Okay.
And
you have to go up. We want you on record.
Yes, that's what I meant. I do think we're on the right track, and I just want to make sure that what we're intending is what the document says. And specifically, mm-hmm. I was talking about the bidding portion, because what you're saying is exactly right, that, you know, we want it to be a general plan. Well, in my mind, and I don't have it in front of me, but as it's written now, it throws out all of the state law and asks us as Grover Beach to rewrite all the state law for bidding. And I don't think that's what we need to waste our time doing. So we just need to make sure that it's not only clear and concise and maybe a little bit shorter, because people would love that, but also that it says what we need it to say and that we don't leave anything open that wasn't intended to be open.
Thank you. So I think we've said that in the charter itself, too. We don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. We're not saying we don't want to abide by state law or by the general, even by many of the principles that are already in place for general law cities. We're just saying that there are certain issues where we would like to have independence.
And if I may, maybe as a point of clarification,
sure.
process-wise, and what was being referenced to, and again, it goes back to not putting all of the things in the charter which cannot be changed with changing times, with changing councils, with changing policies. In references where it says that it shall be established by city council by resolution, basically that means that the charter reserves our right to set our own rules with regard to how we go out to bid, how we award contracts, and those issues, and that the council by resolution shall adopt those rules. So rather than putting every detail in the charter, and then if some one little thing changes, you have to go to an election and hope that people understand why you're changing it, you as council or your following councils can make those changes, be still within the charter, but basically be able to affect the policies and how the everyday governance of the city is carried on.
And yet, just to make sure I understand it myself, is there our process throughout this entire, that entire resolution process is obviously public hearings, yeah. City agendas, and so the it's
completely
not, it's
transparent.
Not gonna, it's yeah, going to be transparent. Exactly. Right. Thank you.
So maybe if I could paraphrase and see if this is what you mean, that we need to write a charter in such a way that we don't hold the future hostage, that we leave it open for the future. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Glenn?
Well,
one first names today.
Yeah.
Thanks, Steve.
Well, speaking of which, the Steve report, but I think I'm going to call it the Lieberman report because it just sounds better.
It does.
It does. So I'm going to refer to it the Lieberman report, which is the Charter Review Committee report. I think you did an excellent job, and I thank all of the committee members. It's really good. It reads well, and it gives us clear direction on what I believe we need to do. I don't see how I can modify it or improve it at this point, other than I'm in agreement with my fellow council members of moving forward with this. It did bring one last question, though, and this probably is going to come off bizarro, but the Code of Ethics. I think we are already sworn to a Code of Ethics standard. There's a... No, I had to take class... You have to take every 2 years or every year we have to take a class in this.
There is a conflict of interest and a basically...
Code of Ethics
class. It's right. AB 1284, I believe. Is 1234.
1234,
yeah. Every 2 years, you're required to go through a
right.
certain through a 2-hour training on that.
So
as far as adoption of a code of ethics, that's certainly, and as Steve said, you don't need to wait for a charter to do that. If,
right.
if it's a desire to council to do that, I will remind that we do have rules of decorum, and there are certain things that have been adopted and steps that have been moved forward mm-hmm. for the council, especially pertaining to meetings. If it's the council's...
I think the intent of the Code of Ethics is something as to how an elected official and maybe staff, but starting with elected officials, how you should present yourself in your position to the community.
Okay.
That was the intent.
So you think we should follow... You would recommend, as part of the Lieberman report, that we should probably move forward with something...
Yeah, I think
lines.
It's great. I mean, you're sworn in, and you're affirming an oath to, you know, defend the Constitution and follow the laws of the land. At that point, you could also adopt the Grover Beach City mm-hmm. Council Code of Ethics.
Good. Well, thank you once again. I think it's an excellent report, and
we have one more job for you, Steve. So,
I think I know what that is.
Don't leave town.
Take his passport. Any other comment? Okay. Well, I wanted to just touch on a few things. I had a couple of things that I thought might be helpful. You know, it's important to me that people feel confident that this is not something that can be hijacked now or in the future. And so I would like to ask if there is a committee that comes forward to draft, I would like to ask that they consider putting some things in that perhaps... support transparency, and again, maybe we're getting too specific, and so I'm willing to be talked down, but I would love to state that we support volunteerism, and I guess really at the end of the day, it's up to you guys whether you agree with this, and we can still change our minds depending on what the community comes back with. And I would like to state that I've got to find my notes here.
So, Debbie.
Yeah.
Mayor.
Yes.
Section 304 of the original.
It says that already.
Says
okay.
That.
So
is
we're
that
good. Yeah, that's okay. Fine. Yeah, okay, so.
And I think that's the base document we're starting with, or that's
right.
What they recommend.
Okay, great, good. Then, thank you. So that one's, we don't need to worry about that one. I just affirm that I'd like to keep that there.
Oh,
then.
Sure. No,
yeah,
no.
As long as everybody else is good with that.
Yes, and I think pretty much if we've all pretty much, I think, said that mm-hmm. we are in agreement with the Lieberman report.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And what
right.
the committee has put forward. And so their recommendation basically says that we should use that as this is a base.
Right.
So
we're, yeah, okay, good, thank you. That sheds a lot, that sheds good light on that one. Thank you very much. And I think it's helpful. I don't know that we've really defined what a charter is. And a charter is basically our constitution. And it's like the U.S. Constitution. It's withstood, what, two to 300 years. And it's a fairly simple document, and that's what we're looking for. We're looking for a simple document that's a broad document that can you guys keep it down? I'm getting distracted. That actually that we have a simple document that actually withstands the test of time, and that it puts forth the general principles that we believe in and the principles that we think are best for the people in the community based on what they come back to us on. And so for the public, we're looking really at a constitution. Bill. Yeah.
Okay. I think it sounds to me like we have consensus mm-hmm. to move forward with putting the charter on the ballot in November. With that thought in mind, having been on the committee that put together this report that was brought before the council tonight, and my opinion of how the chairman did an excellent job, I would like to take this opportunity to see if we are ready to, my recommendation would be to ask Mr. Lieberman if he would be willing to chair the committee to work on refining the charter using the current one that we have that was put before the voters the last time as a guide with comments from that have been made tonight. Mm-hmm. And insofar as the committee is concerned, that Mr. Lieberman would head up any recommendation from any of the council members as to who should be on that committee would be appreciated. And I think we should ask Mr. Lieberman if he's willing to do that, if he has any thoughts as to who might he might want on that committee.
So what I'm hearing is you want Steve to implement the Lieberman report.
If you like to phrase it that way, certainly. I think we need to hear from Mr. Lieberman.
Mr. Lieberman, would you be willing to take that role? With Ms. Shaw as your... Would everybody support Ms. Shaw being his?
Yeah, absolutely.
Working
absolutely.
With perhaps a team.
What happened to democracy? This is not the military, Mr. Nichols.
This is the power that we have.
Honestly, I don't know if I'm prepared to give you a decision. It's not to be negative, but I mean, I really want to ponder that.
Not on the agenda. Mm-hmm. Would have to complete that process and be rescheduled probably at your next meeting.
If it's a Brown Act one, yeah. And if it's just a grassroots community committee, anybody can do anything they like.
And my suggestion would be that this is an area where you're actually designating the committee to essentially do the work for you. So I think you're going to want a little tighter relationship than the past Citizens mm-hmm. Committee was, and would suggest that it would be best that the council actually, however it's composed, ultimately appoint the committee membership.
Okay. Thank you. That's good advice. City Attorney.
And at that point in time, you may decide whether or not you wish it to be a Brown Act body, because as an ad hoc committee designated for a single purpose for a short period of time, it could be either.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so this will be on a future agenda then, and we'll work all this
so
out.
So our decision tonight is, do we wish to move forward with the charter?
I would definitely support moving forward with a charter committee. I mean, I don't know, and perhaps staff can kind of direct us how we do this. It sounds like there's a number of people from the existing committee who might be willing to step forward and participate. I don't know if this is a forum where we select a committee from the five of us to request applications.
But not tonight. We're not discussing it.
I realize not tonight, but I think staff was looking for some direction on what the next steps would be.
Madam Mayor, you can provide the direction, and there's a couple of options you can consider. One, if you were comfortable with the volunteer committee, you could direct staff to solicit interest. You could also open up to receive applications. So there is a couple of different ways you could proceed. Actually, I would appreciate getting that direction now so that we could proceed to begin the formation of the committee subject to the council's final approval at the next meeting.
Thank you. Okay. So, so your question to the council is, what kind of direction do we wish to give city manager?
Solicit applications to form a committee to come back at the next meeting with those folks of interest so that we can make a determination.
So, which then leads to one question is, if this comes back, let's our next meeting is the 22nd of January?
21st.
21st, okay. So if I'm hearing what Councilmember Marshall is saying, staff puts out an application request, and then either at the next meeting we end up interviewing those people, or how does that committee then get selected?
That's one of the questions I've been thinking over, too, is which most involves the public? Is it taking applications in this case, or is it asking someone to take charge of a committee and choose their committee, choose their drafting team? And I don't have an answer to that.
I thought I heard from staff that we should be selecting all the folks, but I could be wrong.
I think you have an option of how you wish to proceed. I think that recognizing that if this moves forward and the council continues, because your decision today to move forward obviously is not irreversible. You may decide 2 months down the road that this isn't going to work. But assuming that it continues to move forward, you're now getting down to an area where this document needs to have certain things in it. It needs to be starting to be shaped. It needs to not have certain things in it. There needs to be a certain level of legal review and a wide open committee who is going to draft it and bring it to you may end up being in a position where we're going to sit there and keep crossing out, changing things, and no, we can't do that, and this, difficult to say. But if you do that, then you will have a next step of trying to work with that draft and getting it into a potentially, and maybe not, a shape where from a staff standpoint, we would say, yeah, this is a document that we would recommend that goes on the ballot. You can start that process by taking applications. At the next meeting, deciding whether one or two of you wish to be on that committee, working with the citizens, whether you want any staff on that committee, whether it's going to be public only, and then you will wait for them to come in. Or you may wish to say it's an open forum. Whoever wants to be on the committee is on the committee, as Mayor suggested, and come bring us what you have. You have 2 months to do it.
And product.
Mm-hmm. I think it's helpful to have staff there. And if it's a Brown Act committee, I think we have to have staff there. So that's a given. I've really kept a hands-off on all of this because I want it to come from the grassroots. I don't want to be the one who drives this.
Well, I'm not saying I want to be the one who drives it either, but it would just seem to me that there should be some, I don't know, they just report back to us. I don't know. But that was
I think we've had an example of what a committee can do. And I think the committee's done an excellent job, and I think moving forward with that type of a committee is going to bring the same results. We'll have a
charter before us, and it'll be our decision to take a look at it, make any changes or recommend any changes individually, and come up with a consensus as to whether the charter that's been presented to us with whatever changes have to be made. But the other thing I think we need to look at is ask council for some sort of a timeline, because there are certain requirements that have to be met going through this process, and we don't have that information at this time. So I think we need to be aware of what public hearings have to be held, how long they have to be prior to the election and all that stuff. So we've got some criteria that we need to live by.
You
so
roughly
we need that
have about
information from staff.
Yeah, you roughly have about 90 days for the process to be concluded. That includes the required public hearings, the meetings, the waiting periods in between. And the process needs to be concluded in early July.
Okay,
so
can we get some
you do not have a
live document?
Certainly. I will circulate once to the council.
That would
That's
be helpful.
No problem.
Yeah, for the next meeting when we discuss
right.
it.
Okay. For quick reference, it's Government Code Section 34458B. I will circulate it in the email to all of you.
Can you give that number again, please?
Sure. 34458B.
B as in boy.
B as in boy.
Mm. It's government code?
That's correct.
Thank you.
So, Bill, I'm a little unclear on what you're saying. You're saying it worked really well the way we did it. What we did was have a council member on the board or on the committee, and or you volunteered. We didn't appoint you. You volunteered. You stepped up. And Steve stepped up, and you all picked the committee. The committee picked their committee. But you're saying, are you saying that's how you'd like to see it done, or are you saying you'd like the board to take applications?
No, I don't think we need to take applications. I think we should see if we've got a chairman for the committee. We have some people that have already volunteered. They can also ask other people that have showed up at the meetings if they want to volunteer to be on this committee. We don't want to have too many people on it, naturally. We need a representative from the council to be on that committee, I believe. We do need a representative from staff. Mm-hmm. I think if we handle it pretty much the way we did before, the only difference is this will be a Brown Act committee, and they will have to report regularly to the city council. And they will have to advertise their meetings and have them mm-hmm. open to the public.
I think just a simple letter of interest to see who is, you know, officially something in writing saying I am interested.
I have a suggestion.
Okay.
And maybe it'll make it a little bit easier. I think we certainly can do two things. We can ask for a simple letter of interest and from anyone that would desire to participate, but we could also go back and make sure that we contact each of the committee members and and encourage their continued mm-hmm. Participation.
Yes.
Then you would need to, the next meeting, you could simply appoint that committee based on the letters of interest from the folks that come forward.
Yeah, I think that's good. And if we as council members have other people that contact us that show an interest or would like to be on that committee, have a desire, then we can just ask them, please, just submit a simple letter to the city manager, and that will be considered at our next meeting.
I'd like to give some priority to the folks who were on the previous committee.
And certainly
that's possible.
That is ultimately up to the council as a whole.
It's our prerogative.
Okay. Yeah. So that would be, I mean, that would give them a 5 points as opposed to one. They already served.
If it even gets that complicated, yeah.
If it gets that complicated.
Okay.
Okay.
So I think we're ready for a motion.
All right.
Is there a motion?
Oh, do we need a motion? No, it's
I
just direction.
Direction. Yeah.
So I think we have consensus on the direction then.
So letter of interest then?
Letter of interest.
Very simple. Mm-hmm. Priority given to those mm-hmm. who...
Prior to January 15th. So staff has an ability to mm-hmm. collate them and have them for you to review with the agenda packet for the 22nd.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay.
And I was going to say, I'd like to suggest at least one, and I don't know if it's a city manager, city attorney.
So, we would be moving along to the next agenda item, but before we do that, does anybody need a break?
Nope.
No, we're good to go.
Good to go.
Okay. So the next agenda item is... Thank you, everybody.
Thank you all.
The next agenda item is...
Bye-bye.
The consideration of the prioritized recommendations from Parks, Recreation, and Beautification Commission. And Director Pechter will be delivering that report.
She's not that scary.
I start piping in chirping noises.
Honorable Mayor and City Council members, good evening. Kathy Pechter, Parks and Recreation Program Director. Just want to have this opportunity to share with you the Parks and Recreation Facilities Matrix program, and to let you know that our commission recently completed a tour of all the city facilities and parks, which included our Glover Beach Community Center and our Ramona Garden Park Center, as well as all of our parks, which included the Ramona Garden Park gazebo and park area, our Glover Heights Park, which is we lease from the Lucemar Unified School District, and also Hero Park, Minto and Basin Park, including the basin and the courts, sports courts on that area. Also Golden West Park, which is the small triangular diamond shape, actually, park that is off the pike. And then we also have the skate park, which we're currently leasing to the YMCA, and also 16th Street Park. These facilities come with a lot of extras, including our multi-purpose rooms, our playgrounds, our benches, our tables, our drinking fountains, our water features, our restrooms, storage areas, and other amenities, trash cans. These obviously are things that need to be maintained and refurbished and sometimes replaced, and they require ongoing maintenance and repair in order to keep our assets going, and keeping our city image looking well is also. So part of the process that the commission, Parks, Recreation, and Beautification Commission goes through on an annual basis, which is recommended in our Parks and Recreation element, is that they tour the city's parks and facilities to provide recommendations for future funding to the city council. And this is part of our process that we want to forward their recommendations to you for that process coming up subsequently. So in the last several months, the commission went on the tour, and they reviewed all of the city parks and facilities. And during the process, what they did was they wrote down individual concerns about each area, and then they did have some consensus when they went to each area, and they talked about areas that needed visual maintenance, safety issues, other areas that they felt needed to be addressed, like landscaping and irrigation. And this came over an entire 4 hours of reviewing the entire city parks. So, and the neat thing about this process is that they get out of their vehicles, they literally, we walk every park area. They get to see up close and personal things really closely, so that they look great from the street, but when you get down there and you're looking at the cracks, then they can see really what needs some help, touch up. So, and also part of being on the commission, they appreciate knowing what's aware in our community, so they can represent that as advocates. What happened after our tour was we came back to the city council chambers here, and we can reconvene in two meetings, we continued to another meeting to review the process of how to rate the improvement recommendations. And what I'd like to do is skip to your first attachment, because what we did is scored it based on a criteria priority form. And if you go to your first attachment, one is a rating form that was developed in 2007, and it was created based on Glover Beach needs and our city's overarching goals, and with the assistance led by our former chair, John LaFerriere, and current planning chair, John LaFerriere, of our commission. He and the commission and myself, we did actually national research on how other cities are doing it, and we came up with this program that we feel is top-notch in terms of what applies to Grover Beach specifically. So when we're looking at a project, for example, one of the examples I gave you in the staff report was, for example, as a real basic example, is a bench that needs to be rehabilitated because there's chipped paint and splinters, for example. So what the commission did right here with this is something that they developed, which obviously they review every year as well to determine if they want to change their priorities of public health and safety as compared to the last three items, which are 10% of the weighted scores, effects on the community relations and the city's image. Those are important, but they get 10% of a score when you're talking about the importance of something that's a safety hazard. So this program was also used when we were presented by a group of youth who wanted a BMX bike park installed in the city. And we went through this process with the commission on the weighted scoring and the priorities, and they determined that, well, one, it's a new program, there is no funding. Two, it's not mandated. Three, there's no space for it. But that this council and the commission felt it wasn't important to the image of the community to help the youth have something active to prepare. So this was very helpful in determining the scoring of that process, and it actually is on our long-term CIP if funding ever becomes available and identified 100%, grants or sponsors. So that's an example of something that's not a safety issue. So the other highlight I wanted to give you was you had your top 40 your attachment number 2 was your top 40 scored areas of improvement. And some of them have a 0 score because that refers to they were either a project that's in process and or it was recommended to be agendized for deeper discussion on future assessments. So, for example, the Grover Heights existing sand volleyball court, they felt that a lot more research needed to be determined on what to do with that space. So, as well as Costa Bella Park, which is actually Costa Bella Drainage Basin, the one on Oak Park and Farrell Road, they can't determine if they want to be able to determine and survey the residents of the subdivision to see if they would prefer active amenities there or passive or nothing. So they want to look into that more. And then behind your summary sheet of the top 40 items is the actual matrix of all of the projects that were reviewed. So, and you also have the subcommittee's memo that was presented to staff. They broke before they continued the item. The subcommittee of Commissioner Roseborough and Vice Chair Boatman met, and they also determined and identified potential volunteer groups that could help. And also they wanted to make a highlight to the city council that they believe areas that are revenue centers should receive a higher priority, if even though they may not have scored as high in the point system, that to take that into consideration as well, that something that really impacts city revenues and rentals to customers were important. And then you also have the excerpts of the minutes of our meetings, and I believe that's it right now. I'd be happy to answer any questions, and I also have some pictures if you want to see any pictures of existing situations, or I have the Excel spreadsheet if you want to see actually how tabulations worked out, but at this point I'll just open it up to you.
Thank you. That's really thorough, and I know we all really appreciate your hard work on that and that of the commission. Thanks. Any questions?
Just one quick one, Kathy. So the letter that you had mentioned, attachment number 3, and how they had recommended that if a facility was a revenue generator, that should have a higher priority. Was that that wasn't considered initially?
No.
Will you be doing that?
Well, the way that since they didn't have a point system on how to do an entire score for example, the Ramona Garden Park Center, it's one of our highest rented facilities in the city. It's a higher end facility. It definitely needs new paint inside and out. It needs new carpet inside and out. Those are those are the sub-projects that need to be done overall. So they wanted that to be considered as a top project.
Right.
So, and the other thing that they mentioned that was a great observation was that there's so many rental things that we have within the city, like the horseshoe pits and the sports courts lights and those things, that we could add additional signs. So they wanted to have additional signs throughout the city saying available for rent. So those are revenue areas as well.
Just one. Thank you for that. Appreciate that. I haven't gone through the process of the matrix. I kind of understand it, but never quite realized where it could go. So thank you for bringing it forward to so we can hopefully see where it goes. On attachment three, just had two potential additions to the volunteer groups, and I was wondering if they were considered did they step forward in as a homeowners association and say we can help participate, or were they looking to have the city do 100% of that, or were they potentially talking about any partnering?
You know, I did fail to mention that they did show up for public comment during one of the meetings, and they expressed their concerns with the Golden West Park area. I did not get a complete feeling that they would be able to unite, but that they were very interested in repairs and amenity upgrades, and that they would be interested in using them if they were upgraded. I think their priority at the time was safety issues first. I don't think that they'd have the skills or the group efforts other than maybe basic park maintenance after things were complete. Okay. Unless the city manager has any other feedback regarding the Golden West group.
Madam Mayor, if I could, I was present for the discussion. A lot of the issue was around the sidewalk repair, and as Kathy indicated, the safety issues. Obviously, the sidewalk repair isn't something that you'd likely have them do. I would suggest that it's worth a dialogue, you know, especially if this ends up being a top priority of the council, and the council moves forward with this as part of the budget deliberation, and that's really what this is to do, that maybe we could re-engage with a homeowners association out there and see if there might be some interest in assisting us with the ongoing maintenance tasks, whether that be performed by the homeowners association members themselves, or maybe they could contract that out. But anything that they would be able to do would certainly assist the public works in their duties and maintenance efforts.
Any questions down at this end?
Yes, please. Thank you. This was really very, very complete, and it was very easy to understand, so I appreciate that. I'm wondering, though, at Ramona Garden Park, what about the water feature expenses? Just because I see kids are in the water all the time, and sometimes the water's not running because the filter's been compromised and that sort of thing. So can you talk to me about that a little bit?
Or Greg Gray may be able to give more information regarding the exact maintenance costs, but from what I understand is that when it was originally put in, that it's just an older filter system, and that all water features are high maintenance, and that we have taken the position that we feel that having running water is more of a image benefit to us rather than it just being a dry rock bed.
Oh, I agree.
So it is costly. And it's one of the trade-offs we've been taking to keep that maintained. So, and the crew does do a good job, but, yeah, it is a high-maintenance feature.
Yeah, I imagine that it is.
And we used to have a water feature at the train station. If you all recall, we used to have a really tall Spanish-style fountain right, I almost right on the corner of Highway 1 and West Grand Avenue. And it was beautiful, and then it was just too much maintenance. We had to take it down, and we have plants in it now. But those are one of the things that, with the sand blowing into it too, we just couldn't keep up.
Oh, I can only imagine. Yeah, and I know with the water feature, you know, you see like kids when the plants were being redone, they were kicking the water, kicking the dirt into there, and anyway.
Well, we did actually end up making the water shallower. We filled in more concrete, so it's not as deep. So it's less than 6 inches anywhere in there.
Well, that's good. Yeah, that's probably helpful, I imagine.
Yeah.
Would it be possible? You said you have pictures. Could you show maybe a few of the Golden West Park? I mean, that seems to be the highest on the list.
The pictures I have of Golden West are the fence. The sidewalk pictures were basically just our typical sidewalk with yellow paint and or a beveled edge of a sidewalk. It could be any sidewalk anywhere. So. But I do have pictures of the fence that is dilapidated. There's a close-up of the deterioration.
Madam Mayor, it's always been maintained by the city, but it is on the property line, and I'm sure, as the city attorney would say, it's actually a jointly owned fence.
Well, as a realtor would say, yeah, that's why I'm asking. And and I think just because we have a tradition of repairing it doesn't mean that we necessarily have to. Yeah, yeah. So I'd like, anyway.
Yeah.
I'm jumping the gun here.
Yeah. So I think that?
I'll say no.
I think that's something to look into. Absolutely. Something to look at. Okay. Thank you.
Councilmember Nichols, do you have questions?
No, ma'am.
Okay. So I had just two questions. On the list of volunteers, that was just suggestions. You're not looking necessarily for more suggestions. I thought of a couple of others, but I don't
absolutely.
Know if it's supposed. Well, what I think that Grover Beach United have always expressed an interest in getting involved in projects and helping to fund them. And also the foresters have always been to all of our events.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they're still working or not, but and then does anybody else have any other volunteer groups that they're aware of that we need to add?
Please forward them to us if you do.
All righty. Then the next question was, I noticed our biggest expenses, huge expenses, on not just for Parks and Rec, but also for the city, are always electricity and irrigation. And I know that we are, or were, I think we still are, providing grant aid to folks who are reducing, are changing out the irrigation to a new form that is more cost effective. Are we using that new form ourselves?
Not yet. Mm-hmm. We've talked to the Public Works Director about doing that, and you may have heard some of his discussions about maybe converting some of our public park areas to more drought-tolerant types of landscaping. In essence, what we did at Ramona on a limited basis. The other thing I'll make you aware of is there has been a water audit completed for the irrigation in the parks. Greg and I were talking about that today. We don't have the results yet, but that should help in terms of doing a better job of holding down our water costs, at least.
So will we have a report on that when it, or some kind of briefing on that?
We could. I mean, it could be part of a mid-year budget discussion.
I think that I'd be very interested to hear how
I would like to do that too. Everybody else on board? Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
Right.
I do have one more question, and at the risk of opening up a secondary can of worms, realizing that we have a number of
worms.
Worms, exactly, in our parks, right where they should be. In terms of funding, besides grants and general fund funds and volunteerism, has there been a discussion about naming opportunities or coming forward with Adopt-a-Park opportunities? And I'm sure that's outside the scope of this particular particular matrix, but it could be a form of how funding gets accomplished.
Yes, absolutely. As a matter of fact, we have been doing research on that, and we're planning on bringing it to the council next year, early next year. A lot of the research is completed. Just need to present it to you. So we are really looking forward to that opportunity of naming rights and sponsorships and having it a formal program in the city so we can promote it and market it. And also regarding funding, we are also looking into funding sources for our parks construction funds and our Quimby fees and the allocation of those funds, and if we can use any of those for maintenance and repair as well.
So I had a couple of other things that came to mind while we were talking there. What about scouts, Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts as volunteers?
Yes.
And I have, there's a gentleman who works a lot with the scouts, his name is escaping me, who helped us with the beach cleanup. And he really likes to organize groups of kids to do things. So I will dig out that name and send it over to you also.
Well, incidentally, we just had an Eagle Scout finish his display kiosk at the skate park this last weekend. So Cameron Storton finished it. So we'll be honoring him here soon as well.
Good.
Great.
Yeah.
And yes, I wanted to mention to you, Wednesday night, I went along to the Ramona Garden Center because the Department of Fish and Wildlife was having a scoping meeting there, which they need to do because you helped them with it. And independently of each other, two of the folks there came up to me and told me how much they appreciated the center, what a marvelous place it was, what a super place it was for a presentation. And I was really, really pleased to hear that. So just kudos to you guys.
Great.
It's worked great.
I don't have any words of wisdom to impart on them other than thank you.
Well, when we start to brainstorm, sometimes interesting things come up.
Yeah. Sure. That'd be dialogue is always good.
I have to really give them a lot of credit. They worked really hard on the matrix and stayed concentrated and did a really good job with their subcommittees and their feedback, and they spent a lot of time. So unfortunately, they had to take off for the night, but they'd appreciate that, yeah.
Well, thank you for all that hard work.
Yes.
It was a good report. And do we need a motion or anything on this? Oh, well, and I wanted to say, too, Kathy, you know, since we're on first-name basis tonight, it's been tough for the last few years because Parks and Rec has managed to come forward and completely cover the costs of all their events and eliminate some events that weren't covering their costs. And despite that, we really haven't had much money to put towards that, towards Parks and Rec. And I think we all recognize that and appreciate your hard work on this and a way of helping us to look at it where we can do it most cost effectively. It's a job really well done, and thank you for being gracious through all that tough time.
You're welcome.
So, do we need to have a motion or anything here? No? Just, okay.
Open it to the public at all? Or I don't know if you did.
Oh, open it to the public. Okay, you three gentlemen in the public. Anyone like to come? And one lady, would you like to make any comments tonight on this?
I live in Golden West.
You want the microphone?
We'll need to give you the microphone.
More by people who do not live in Golden West.
That's an interesting point.
Than it is by the residents of Golden West. Golden West is a senior.
Okay, so I'm going to paraphrase what you're saying while we're waiting. You're saying it's being used more by non-residents than the actual residents at Golden West.
Moms bring their kids in to play on the grass because it's a lovely spot. And in that regard, that fencing is an important thing because it acts as a barrier that this part is park and that part is a public residence. If the fencing weren't there, you could have anybody and their brother wandering through something that is private property. So it kind of sets it up as being a park area. I would hate to see that park go. I am delighted to see that it's used by people outside.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public want to come forward? Seeing as there's no one else in the public, we're going to close it to public comment now and bring it back to the council. And I'm just wondering if we give it enough clear direction or...
Madam Mayor, yes. The intent in with
file
your comments is we'll also use this as a guide as we go through our next budget cycle.
Good, thank you.
You read my mind.
Perfect, perfect, good. Okay, so thank you
thank
for
you.
That. Anybody need a break yet? It's 9:15.
No. We're almost done, aren't we?
Okay, we're almost done. Only one left, and I think we can get through it pretty quickly. So next on our agenda, if I can find it here, is appointment of council members to various boards, commissions, and committees. And the city manager is going to give the report. The council will consider appointing representatives to those regional boards, commissions, and committees with council representation.
Madam Mayor, members of the council, annually the council reviews committee assignments, and as a result of a review and consensus process, generally makes reassignments to those committees. What we do by way of process, as you're aware, we initially staff sends out an interest form that indicates current membership and requests that council members complete the interest form indicating if there are areas or committees that they would like to be like to represent the city on, and also indicate areas where they may have a conflict of interest. That form went out sometime in November, was returned to the city, and is attached as a document for your use. As I've mentioned, it's usually the council's will review the committee assignments and by consensus make any changes that you think were worthy of making. If the committee, your attendance is actually compensated by the agency you're representing, you're actually required to make the report at the next council meeting. So just for clarification purposes, essentially what we'll ask, I'll answer any questions that the council may have, but this is really the opportunity for you to review those individual assignments and make changes as you see fit.
Thank you. Does anybody, are there any things on this list that anybody has changed their mind on so that we could?
I've got two.
Okay.
On the APCD,
mm-hmm.
I do not have a conflict.
Oh,
so I apologize for that. And that's the same on the integrated waste management.
Now, does that mean that you are would like to serve on them?
No.
Okay. So your conflict is you don't wish to serve on them.
Exactly.
Well, that's a fair conflict.
I don't have a conflict.
Okay. And integrated waste management.
Yes.
Okay, great. Thank you. No other changes to people's... okay. So I was looking at this and thinking, how can we simplify this? Because it's 9:17 and it's been a heavy evening. And I think the first thing we can do is take the low-hanging fruit. So if nobody has changed their mind on these, we've got seven items here where there was only one person who wanted to be in the main representative position. So I would suggest that we just stay with that if everybody's good with that.
I'm good with that.
Okay. And then I have done some other thinking. I realized that we do this annually, but this year we've done it about four times because first we lost Phyllis, then we gained Glenn, then we found some work conflicts with our county employees, and then we also had some scheduling problems for people. So I think we considered it probably four times over the course of the last year. So I'm going to suggest that maybe to simplify matters that this time we stay where we are, with a couple of exceptions that I would like to ask if people would like to cover them, because I have two League of City commitments this year, two committee commitments. So I would like to see if any.
Yeah.
Well, let me. Can I finish my sentence?
Sure.
I would like to throw out South SLO County Sanitation, throw it out to you to discuss South SAN and also the EVC. And then that would leave me with two committees and a better balanced committee assignment load. And so I wanted to bear that in mind. And also noting that both PISMO and PASO, when they make their assignments, they make it for 2 years. And it kind of makes sense because we rotate councils every 2 years, and it saves going through this process quite as many times. We might have to reconsider from time to time. But so, yes, Mr. Nichols.
My thought was we start at the top.
Okay.
And if I may, I will make a nomination that we appoint Karen Bright to the Air Pollution Control District.
I'd really like to keep that one. That's one of the two I'd like to keep.
That's my recommendation.
And I would move, I don't know if we need a motion on that. I'd go ahead and second that.
Well, I think this is by consensus.
It's by consensus. I mean, if we need to, I mean, I would.
First of all, I think if it is a nomination, if we're doing a nomination process, then the nominee needs to, first of all, either accept the nomination and then you vote on it.
All right, then I'm making a nomination.
Well, and I'd like to nominate myself because I'd like to stay on it. So what I'm suggesting is that maybe we go through and see where we are in all of them and then come back to that one, because there may be other things that people want to do too that we need to talk about. So if we're not going to stay with where we were, then let's go through them all.
So then if that's where we're headed, I mean, I would accept the nomination, but there are a lot of other folks who look like they would be willing to serve as well. But I would accept the nomination if that's what the council desires for the APCD.
Well, I would support Karen on the APCD as well. So,
and I think Karen's a fine representative. Mm-hmm. I just would like to stay with it. There are a couple of committees that only meet six times a year. There's the IWMA and the APCD and maybe some others that I haven't served on, so I don't know. And when you're only there six times, you don't really have an opportunity to get to know it. And I know that, as my understanding was that you would see if I behaved in a manner that the council was comfortable with, and if so, then perhaps you would be willing to support me to continue in that role.
Okay, wait. Mm-hmm. Didn't we have a nomination, and we all expressed our concern on the nomination? So where?
What I'd like to do, Bill, is I'd like us to go ahead and move through all of this and talk about it, because there's a balance that comes of it. So I'd like to just talk through the others and then come back to that.
So the.
Mm-hmm. So we do have a nomination, yeah.
But we're not going to act on it.
I'd like to talk through the rest of them before we do that.
Okay.
If folks are willing to do that.
Yeah, I'm okay with talking through them.
Okay. So on your comment on the APCD, not the APCD, South SAN, that one meets twice a year. I mean, sorry, twice a month.
Right.
And so once you're on that one, you have a lot more ability to become a lot more familiar with it. It is very technical. It is complex.
Yes, I know.
And it takes a lot of time.
Because I served on it for just a couple of times, and
right.
I know.
It's complex.
It is.
Yeah.
Very much
yeah.
so.
So my thought on that one was that I have served there for a year. I've loved doing it. I would like to serve longer. However, I can't do six committees, basically, and mayor. And if I continue on all four of these, then I'm ending up
doing a metal breakdown.
Well, I probably can't do as good a job as I might do otherwise.
Yeah,
I want to do justice to it. And I also feel like the load needs to be shared. It's been kind of unbalanced over the last year, with the mayor pro tem and I taking more than anyone else, and also
really
fulfilling those roles.
I didn't feel like I had, really.
Okay.
I wanted
to do them. I'm not complaining. Yeah, I enjoyed it. But I think we should spread the
love
a little bit here.
And I think, and South SAN is pretty labor-intensive. I mean, being that it is two 2 times a month, although it's in the evening, so that's why I threw my hat into the ring, because it's in
right.
the evening.
Okay.
Anywho. So.
And my thought on that one had been, well, perhaps where they're moving right now is they're at this stage now where they really need to review where they're going for the future, and there are a whole lot of issues to be considered, not least of which is you know, will they go for the whole big plan, and if they do, will the county support it? Will the Coastal Commission support it? And that becomes a pretty heavy engineering type of decision.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're capable of doing that.
I think we have other people who are more capable, however.
More capable than me, and that's why I'm suggesting that perhaps Glenn might like to do that.
Sure, I'd love to do that, County Sam.
Because I know you'll do it. I think you would do a better job than I would for the next phase. I think you're the better choice.
Sure.
So.
No, I would.
But
definitely.
I don't. No, but no. Let's not make that decision
nope,
yet.
Nope,
let's
right.
let's
We're
move
still
through.
Through.
Let's keep moving through.
Okay.
So,
okay.
So yeah. I'm
Mayor and Council, just as a reminder, the position with the Sand District is either a mayor or the mayor's appointee.
Okay.
So it's, that's
so
not
I
a that's
appoint.
Not a vote of the council.
Okay.
Right. So there
okay.
you go.
My apologies.
So
okay.
You just
so
appoint.
I have that option.
Point away.
Okay. Well, I'll wait till we go through. I said we were going to go through the process, mm-hmm. So let's do that. Economic Vitality Corporation, I think, is really important to our future development. I have sat there for 3 years, though, and I think that after 3 or 4 years, it's always a good time to move on. And I've done that. I did that with the VCB, and suggested that we do that last year with the APCD. And I think it's good to have consistency for maybe 3 years, and then going into 4 or more, I think it's time to start thinking about whether a fresh view is helpful. So I know Council or Mayor Pro Tem Bright wanted to do that. I think you offered to do that one, or
mm-hmm.
and you've done it before,
I
but
have.
Only for 2 years.
Was it just 2 years? I don't know.
It was 2, I believe, yeah.
Well, it's all here somewhere. But
yeah, I think it was 2 when I looked at that. So,
but no one else has offered. So, I always enjoyed that assignment,
mm-hmm.
so I'd be happy to take it on.
Okay, and I would certainly be happy to be the alternate.
You're nominating her for that committee now?
No, Bill, we're going through all of them, and then we're going to come back to all of them. So we're going through 7 of them. And the next one, the homeless is... let's see, that was we're covered on that one. Housing Trust Fund, we have no one, so that becomes something we need to consider.
Oh, yes, I sit on that now, and actually I think there's a hole through my there's
okay.
a hole punch through my initial.
Oh, yeah, there is.
KB.
Oh, sorry, there is a hole punch right through that initial. That's
I
nice.
The benefits
okay.
of iPads.
Okay, so we're still
and
we're going through with keeping
oh,
people
it's
where they're at.
No problem.
there's no hole it's in cool. it, huh?
Yep.
So keeping consistent with perhaps keeping with people where they are for consistency. Let's see what's next. Integrated Waste Management Authority. We had 3 people. Jeff made the case to me. That's the only conversation I had about this, that he would really like to stay on that. On that one. And so we've got 9 already.
Here.
Okay. And then South Sands. So that leaves it. So then it sounds like, 5 Cities Fire Authority. I'd love to do 5 Cities Fire Authority.
I would appreciate keeping that. And we're right in the midst of working on the report for the assessment district, which is a 35-page document that will be before the board this week, Friday. I just think it's important that with what's going on in the fire service that should stay the way it is right now would be my recommendation. And I would like very much to stay on that committee.
Well, I just put my name because that was it looks interesting to me, and it's also something that I could do with my schedule. So if you want to stay with it, I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that. I have no problem with it.
Well, if I'm moving away from 3, that leaves me with 1. And so, really, for me, it's kind of between APCD or the 5 Cities Fire Authority would be the ones that I'd be most interested in. And everybody else has taken or agreed that they would be happy to do the others.
You can keep South County Sand.
I was going to say, notwithstanding Glenn's desires, it's like I know you've enacted some change, and
mm-hmm.
you said you're kind of still in the midst of that, not realizing that.
No, I don't think so.
Oh.
The I'm not. but the district is still moving forward on some things.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But if we gave Karen the PCD, that would give you, that would free up more time for you to work on South County Sand.
No, I don't need more time for South Sand because it's not as, it's become a lot less time consuming. It was extremely time consuming, and getting to know it's very time consuming. But once you're fairly familiar, then you've got it, and we're back to having much more efficient meetings. So it's not as time consuming now.
Yeah, it seems like a good group of folks.
Yeah, it's a great organization. Well, then the only two that we've got undecided at this point would be APCD and Five Cities Fire.
Well, I'm hearing APCD is the Karen. She likes it, and I think we're all supportive of her. I know you don't appreciate that, but...
Yeah, I'd really like to stay on that one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then Five Cities Fire. Is that, I have no opinion on Five Cities Fire. I know Bill's got a lot of history on it, and I'd like to see him probably stay with it, just because he's been with it consistently.
I think it would be wise.
I think so, too.
Mm-hmm. So, but that argument doesn't apply to APCD? The consistency argument applies to everything but that?
Well, the consistency argument, I think APCD... I think Karen, my understanding, I was pre-Glenn, my understanding is Karen was on it, and then she was taken off. And I don't know if that's the case.
No.
Can you use your mic, please?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
What was the history? Because that was my understanding.
You weren't taken off. You were there, you served for 4 or 5 years.
Mm-hmm. I did. I served for 4 or 5 years. A long time. The history's here. I can't remember for how long.
Yeah.
I wanted to continue to serve, but Debbie wanted, she wanted it, and so
I was the
she
alternate.
Was mayor.
And so I was the alternate. And actually, the year before, I had been going to do it, and then I had to give it up because I had a conflict with the VCB. So I'd had them for 3 years, so I gave up the VCB and took that one instead.
So after, you termed out on the APCD?
Well, there's no terming out.
Well, right now, I consider this terming out. I mean, end of the year? Did you make it through the full end of the year, or you stopped?
Me?
Yeah.
Yes.
You did, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Just and
so
then
we
just watched, slipped it out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I apologize.
Yeah,
I didn't know.
Yeah, no.
For some reason, I thought there was some faltering in there.
Yeah, we haven't removed anybody from committees at any point.
You can remove me anytime you want.
Yeah.
That's okay.
That's why I'm throwing you in.
I know. Well, I'm still seeing four on the APCD, so unfortunately.
I'll take my name out.
Oh.
On APCD,
okay.
So
three.
So, okay. And I mean,
sorry, you mean as a representative on the APCD?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean, and I'd indicated that I would support Karen moving on to the APCD. I would support you, Debbie, staying on the South Sand.
Mm-hmm.
So, and Bill staying on the Five Cities Fire Authority.
Yeah. I think that's a good mix.
I really personally feel that, honestly, I love South Sand, and I've developed great relationships. Bill is going to stay on Five Cities Fire, so everybody's going to do exactly what they want to do except for me. Thanks, guys.
Sorry, Debbie.
I hope so.
Okay, can we go down the list then so we all know what we got?
And also the alternates need to be selected.
Well, in that case, I would like to be the APCD alternate.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I don't object to that.
I don't either.
Okay. So starting with
both.
APCD, Debbie, you
want to
take
be both,
that?
Can I?
What, first and second?
Yeah.
Okay, so audit committee is Karen. And Chamber of Commerce is Glenn.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take the alternate there just to keep getting the...
Okay.
There is no alternate.
The emails.
The emails. I think we all get the emails anyway. You don't have to do it for the emails.
Then
you won't get rid of the emails.
Okay, cool. Just keep me on the email.
Okay.
Thank you.
EVC. I think I'll keep that one then.
Sure.
Because
you want to? Absolutely.
I think it is really an important one.
It is. I agree.
So you're going to keep
where
the
we're going. So I'm going to keep the EVC then.
Okay. Karen will stay as the alternate.
Would you be willing to be the alternate?
Sure.
Still?
Absolutely.
Okay. And Five Cities Fire.
Do you want to be the alternate?
I'd like to be the alternate, yeah.
On Five Cities Fire?
Yeah. And Homeless Services Oversight, exactly as it's written here.
Mm-hmm.
And then Housing Trust Fund, Karen. And Integrated Waste Management Authority, Jeff. Now, I haven't actually been counting numbers of who has how many, so I hope everybody's getting a fair our numbers are balanced.
Well, I don't care about that.
I do. I think we all have to share in the responsibilities of the council.
While we're at IWMA, Integrated Waste, Glenn said he didn't have a conflict, so Karen, mm-hmm. did you want to be the alternate, or did
doesn't
Glenn
want
to remain?
He can be alternate if he likes. It doesn't matter to me.
You were alternate last time.
I never went once.
Oh. Yeah, stay as alternate, because you won't have to do anything. But you'll get your name there as being really active.
So you okay. will stay as the alternate?
Sure. If you'd like, I'll be happy to do that.
Okay. And, we were at IWMA. Mm-hmm. And then Visit Slo County, we've got Jeff as the representative. And is there someone who'd like to do that alternate position?
It's a fun it's fun, but I just... When I was the alternate, mm-hmm. the three times I couldn't make it. So I'm not a good alternate.
And actually, that would be occurring this Wednesday as well. So I've been called into a different meeting that I can't rearrange. So, and they do have a meeting.
I would be happy to be the alternate, but I cannot do this Wednesday because I have other commitments that morning.
Okay.
Are you free this Wednesday?
This Wednesday. I don't know. I'd have to look at my calendar.
Okay. Well, we'll leave that one. We can't really fix or change unless there's someone else who'd like to be alternate.
It wouldn't work for me. Okay. I know that.
All right.
You're in the same meeting.
Yeah. Well, since we've decided that people can sit on committees for five years, I guess I can do this for a fourth year as the alternate.
No, I got
so
out of
I will.
Okay, so you're going to
be the
alternate
there. And Slo County Water Resources Advisory Committee, RAC.
Bill has that
as the alternate,
and Greg is the representative.
Okay, and SLOCOG, I am happy to be the happy to continue with that. We should have an alternate in case I'm not able to.
I will continue as the alternate if you don't object to it,
especially since you're the only one who can.
Yeah.
Right.
I can't.
Since you're the only one that can, I don't see that there's much point. South County.
You ought to vote on it.
South County Transit.
I'm happy with that. It's not difficult.
We need an alternate there.
Karen Bright has been the alternate.
I've never had to go, but when I looked at the schedule, it would be if I had to go, I probably could, but.
You don't worry, you won't have to.
Okay, so I'll be the alternate.
Yeah.
If no one else wants to, I can do that.
All right. South Slo County Sanitation District.
So that'll be Glenn, right?
Glenn and who is the alternate?
Anybody can be. I just threw my name in there.
I'm happy to be the alternate.
Sure.
There you go.
I think that keeps consistency.
Okay,
there
you that's
go.
A good idea. Does that work?
Yes,
okay.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
of course I have to be. I wish I could remember that one. Sorry, I keep thinking that we're.
Yes.
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 No. So that's carried 4 in favor, 1 in dissent, and we're going to our next item of. On the agenda, which is, we don't have any pulled consent agenda items, so we have council committee reports. Oh, and one other thing, speaking of council committee reports, the next South Sand meeting is Wednesday night. Are you free on Wednesday night?
I can be. I haven't read it. I assumed you were going.
I haven't read it either because I knew I was going to ask you.
Oh, okay. I will be there.
All right.
And guess I'm going to do some reading.
It's on my agenda for reading tomorrow.
Yeah, it will be on mine.
Okay, great.
Yeah, no problem.
Okay, so speaking of when things are meeting, can we be sure that we do have cover on all these committee meetings? The ones that I've been on don't meet again now, except for that one, until January, so folks should be okay with getting to them. What about the rest of you? Any other meetings?
Mine's just the Visit St. Louis, which is this Wednesday.
Which I can't do.
I
have two appointments.
Okay. Okay. I just don't know. Yeah. This week is so crazy. I just don't know.
Okay. The agenda's not heavy. It's basically, and I'll, when I get to the committee
where
report.
Where is it? Okay, you'll tell me.
That's going to be at the PAC.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh.
And it's basically coming back forward with the...
Well, that's right. I read the email. That's
you
right.
know, I could go for half an... It's at 8:30.
8:30,
I could go for half an hour. I have an appointment in San Luis at 9:15 and another one at 10:30. So I could go for half an hour.
Okay.
I mean...
So let me check my calendar.
And if you're not free, I'll do half an hour.
Okay.
Okay, great.
At least we'll have some representation.
Right, mm-hmm. Yeah. And I love that committee. So
it's a fun...
I hated to give that one up.
It's a fun one, but it's hard for me to get to.
Okay, so... Karen, do you have any council committee reports?
As a matter of fact, Housing Trust Fund, they have a lot of funds, but many of them are committed. Jerry is he's exceptional at what he does and getting funds for the Housing Trust Fund. One of the missions of the Housing Trust Fund is to help to develop low-cost housing and transition housing. And there was this homeless data that he had passed along to us, and that which was quite interesting to me. And I sent myself an email so I wouldn't forget what it was. San Luis Obispo County is third in the nation for... homeless, how do I say this? There are only two areas in the country who have a lower percentage of their homeless that are not sheltered than we. So we have so many of our homeless that aren't sheltered, that don't have a place to be sheltered or prefer not to be sheltered for whatever reason. And those other two areas are both in Florida. So I think because of the weather, obviously, they have, you know, they can...
What was the first one?
They're both in Florida.
Oh, both in Florida.
Yeah.
So do we have higher homeless populations? Is that why we have less housed?
It doesn't say that we have a higher population of homeless, but we do have a high population of homeless. Absolutely.
So is that we have a? It's the percentage. It's not the numbers. Okay.
It's the percentage that are not housed. Yeah. So, I just thought that was really kind of staggering. I had no idea. But anyway,
I read in the paper a while back that we actually have more homeless in South County than North County too. I don't know if you had heard that.
No, they did not address that, but it wouldn't surprise me because our weather is milder.
Right, that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and then I have Zone 3, and we had a wonderful report by Mr. Lee that he should probably report on because he could do a much better job. So I'm going to let him do that. Basically, we set our meeting schedules, and we had a review of the capital projects. But things are moving along there. As far as I should have been more prepared. I'm sorry. Why don't you come back to me? After I review this a little
Alrighty.
Better. Thank you.
Jeff.
Sure. I'll piggyback on what Councilmember Wright was just
Thank
saying,
you.
Is that towards that, the item coming forward with the business improvement district is the board is pursuing an option of adding effectively a BID over the entire county, which becomes another sustainable funding source for them. They're looking at adding an assessment that is somewhere between 1 and 1.25% on top of the existing TOTs, and then obviously Arroyo Grande has their own business improvement district, Paso, and we don't currently, but the folks staying there would actually get a second layer on their the model that they're kind of moving forward with would raise somewhere between $2.5 and $3 million for marketing and for other Visit San Luis Obispo projects or campaigns. So one of which I would imagine would still continue to be the Saver event as kind of the flagship event, but that's it's going to be a long process. As part of that, the Stacy Jacobs, the executive director, or some representative from her from her staff, will come forward and ask us to as a council take a position on that, or at least get an update from that. So our city manager will probably be hearing from her if he hasn't already. So other than that, I think that was the only committees that I hadn't reported on previously.
So thank you.
The January IW Integrated Waste Management Authority meeting has been canceled. So then their next meeting will be in March.
Oh, that you got an easy number there. Five meetings.
Exactly.
Okay, homeless is sorry, Mayor Pro Tem Bride, are you ready yet, or shall
no,
we go
ahead.
Okay. Homeless Services Oversight Council.
There is no meetings.
Okay. And Councilmember Nichols.
Well, I've already mentioned what's coming up on the Five Cities Fire Authority, the consultant's report, which I have been working on all weekend. And it is to be on the agenda for Friday's meeting. And if we have too many problems with it, not enough understanding of it, and I'm trying to talk to the other board members to see where they're at insofar as understanding the report, because it's not easy, very difficult. And I want to make sure that the board does understand it before we take any action on it. So it's possible that we might have to call a special meeting to further discuss that report and where we go with it insofar as the assessment district is concerned. And South County Transit, we did not have a meeting, but they had their annual Christmas party last week. It was held at the Elks Lodge in Oceano. My wife and I went to that. It was a very nice dinner. Really enjoyed it. All of the drivers and mechanics and, of course, Jeff Straw, staff, executive director, made a very brief appearance there. But it was good. Connie, who is the manager of the South County Transit, she pretty much hosted the whole program. And it was very interesting. They had a film that they showed of events going back about 10 years with drivers and different types of vehicles and what went on so forth. So it was a very pleasant evening. Really enjoyed it. That's it.
And nothing to report on the RAC?
RAC, no.
Okay. Would you like to take your turn?
Oh, sure. I just, since we've been going on and on about this, the Habitat Conservation Plan, I just wanted to report out that the draft RFQ has been prepared for the hydrogeological services. And so that will be going forward, and hopefully one of these days we're going to actually get that thing done.
I'm not going to comment on that.
I know. But anyway, so it's moving forward.
Is that the draft report?
The draft RFQ. It's just the RFQ for the services. If you want to look at it, you're welcome to.
Okay. No. It's just
okay.
Interesting to see that I actually got one.
Yeah. There's many of them too. So many different parts to it. Thank you.
Great.
Sure. APCD, nothing to report. EVC, they had their Christmas party, but it was just a nice social event. South San, nothing to report. And the San Luis Obispo Council of Governments, I have a huge report. They just got this. This was the time of year where they consider all their next projects, and I did want to go through some of those with you. Some of it I know Greg already covered, and it was the good news. Here we go. It's right on the top. So we should keep an eye on that one. It's the program that Pismo Beach was successful in securing a complete streets planning effort that they completed last spring. And they recommended programming almost $27 million in other funding. And we did really well in that. And I have to say the rest of the board was very gracious about that. Atascadero didn't get hardly anything, but they've had a lot. And Tom was very gracious, so I have to say I appreciate that. So we are getting $1 million to complete the train station expansion at Grover, and also $1.5 million to help in the reconstruction of Oak Park Road between Grand and Highway 101. So that, which has been hanging over our heads and really causing us a lot of concern in terms of the cost, will be shared.
So that is for sure.
Yeah, it's a done deal.
Oh, that's marvelous.
The board voted on it. They're also providing just some local things that will be of interest. $1 million to fund the shortfall in the Briscoe Road interchange. Doesn't mean that it's going to start tomorrow, but it means that we're going in the right direction and there's money for it now. And also $500,000 to fully fund the Price Canyon Road shoulder and bikeways project, which is really good news because it's congested in a dangerous street. Also, we did a transit needs assessment update. And although we've actually, there was a big report on that, despite that, the level of transit services in South County is just considered medium, while the need is high to very high, especially in Grover and Oceano. So the report found the designation of the South County as a new urbanized area brought new federal transit dollars with the potential to grow the system, but they're not seeing noticeable improvements. So maybe back to the drawing board and evaluate that some more and see what we can come up with on that one.
Can I interject in there just for a second? And I don't know if this triggers anything, but if they're going to consider Grover and Oceano a new urbanized area, that triggers something in our stormwater post-construction requirements. Sorry if I get too technical here. You get a 50% savings in how much stormwater you need to infiltrate if you're not an urbanized area. So it may impact, if we become an urbanized area, now all of a sudden you've got to treat technically 100% of that, of some percentage of water that runs off the street. So just that may have some impacts for us.
Okay, thank you. And key findings. These were some of the findings from a regional transportation plan, future financial expectations. Oh, sorry, that's going to go to the next meeting. But they have some key findings. State and federal funding continues to deteriorate while costs escalate. None of it's good news. Local governments will need to take a larger role in providing needed funding for highways, streets, and road improvements, which I think we've taken on board as a council. And the need is such that the region should pursue supplemental funding. And we'll see on January 7th what the plan is for that. So that's the extent of my council reports. What about council communications? Anybody got communications?
Nope. I do. I just briefly. Uh-huh. I would just like to say that we had a lovely holiday party. Mm. It was very nice, very well attended. And I want to thank our city attorney and our city manager for all their cooking and organizing and so on, and all the and our chief city manager.
No, our chef.
And
take the eye out.
As well as all the other folks that volunteered, because there were a lot of people behind the scenes who decorated and so on. It was just really lovely. It was a very nice party, and I'm so sorry, Debbie, that you weren't well enough to attend.
Yeah,
because it was very nice.
I missed two parties. I missed the RTA one too.
Oh, that's a shame. Because they did miss. Believe me, they missed your emceeing because they didn't get it from me. Bob took over.
I didn't hear that from anybody.
Anyway, it was very nice. That's it.
Great. Any other council member comments? I have a few. I did take a trip down to the city of Oxnard. I believe we were all offered an opportunity to go see their new state-of-the-art, beautiful architecture, development for purifying groundwater. And it was just incredible. They've got all kinds of plans in place. It was far too complex for me to take it all in. Mayor Higginbotham was there also. I did that on my own steam. I didn't charge expenses to the city. But I did want to go with that just because we've got so much going on the water. So I've got the report. What it was water education for Latino leaders. And what they said is, if there are Latinos as your constituents, that is enough for them to really want to have folks step up. So they're doing some things in the future, which I think would be really good leading edge things to pay attention to. They're going to have a conference, and I'll bring that information next week. I didn't actually get that in my report, but I'll bring the first on something. We can get money for that too. Also, I mentioned that I'd gone along to the meeting of the Guadalupe Dunes. I can never remember the full name. The folks who manage the fish and game there, the wildlife preserve. That's what it is, and. I had someone come into my office the other day, and two people come in, and they wanted to say thank you to the fire department. And same thing we've heard so many times, which is that they just do such a good job when people need help. And one of them described how her husband had passed away on Memorial Day, but in the months before he passed away, they needed a lot of help, and he always felt so encouraged when the fire department came. Rather than being embarrassed, he felt good about it. And the other one had a fall, and she said that they were absolutely wonderful with her, too. So I just wanted to pass that on and make sure that the department gets our thanks on that. And emergency training, Chief Copsey. When are we going to do that?
Two weeks? No, just kidding.
a special meeting?
We actually have been trying to do some planning for this. There's a couple things mm-hmm. we have planned. One is to present to the council somewhat brief, because it'll be for a council meeting, the roles of council members and what we can do with that, and then kind of get some direction then whether or how you want to move forward with possibly doing a tabletop exercise just for our city that we can do. We can maybe practice some of those. Mm-hmm. And part of it, too, we want to cover at least let the council know how prepared we are and what we have in place for emergency planning, and part of that is to make you feel comfortable that we know what we're doing. And I'm going to involve my commander, John Peters, involved with this. He's actually been attending and soon to have credentials for emergency management stuff, and he'll be doing some of this as well. So hopefully as the year ends, but partly potentially February or something is what we're targeting. So we will have some of that information for the council.
Well, just for the record, we never had any concerns about whether you knew what you were doing.
I think it's good. It should be good because it kind of brings forward, and it also mm-hmm. will be asking questions on different things that hopefully we can take back for preparedness as well.
We would love to hear about it, though. We'd love to hear
and
from you
both. I also wanted to mention, too, that we have finally finalized our local hazard mitigation plan. That was done probably a few months ago, finalized through FEMA, so we can share some of that as well, some of what we plan for the next 5 years for that. So,
thank you very much. I look forward to that. And the final thing was, I lost it, Tourism Summit. Last year, I held a tourism summit. I got together all the folks who do tourism in the South County. We met in the conference room just so we could compare notes and find out if there are areas of common interest. And we didn't feel that we needed to meet again necessarily, but I've been approached by a few of those folks asking if we could do it again. So that was encouraging. I think, we're moving in the right direction with that. So I wanted to run it by the council, make sure you guys are good with that, and see if you had any input or comments or concerns, or okay if I go ahead with that?
I personally think it's a great idea. I'll just add, depending upon when it is, there is Restaurant Month is coming up through to visit San Luis Obispo. So if there's anyone who wants to hop on board with that, they just contact the Visit Slow folks, and they'll get on the website. And I think we actually have one. We may have one or two restaurants who are participating in that. Coming up in again starting in January, but it's always good to have more options. So, and that's basically a three-course dinner for $30, I think it is.
At various
restaurants throughout the county. So it'd be something to mention to the tourism group.
Yeah,
if they didn't already
know. Exactly. Yeah, how could we miss it?
Exactly.
Okay, well, I guess we're finished then with council communications.
Can I sneak one in real quick?
Sure.
I just want to thank Five Cities Fire for Santa Claus. That was very cool this year.
Yeah, it's always wonderful. City manager reports and comments?
No, not at this time.
You've had enough. City attorney's reports and comments.
Thank you. Honorable Mayor, council members, first of all, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. We won't see you till next year. I am going to be on a vacation during portions of that time, and David Hale, the assistant city attorney, will be available should you have any need for telephonic contact. Otherwise, I'll be monitoring the emails and will respond as if I was in my office. But Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to everybody.
Thank you, Martin. And we have closed session. Did you want to announce that for
us? Certainly. Two items, they both pertain to